KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, we bid a fond farewell to Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. In the next term of Congress, she will not be standing for House Minority Leader, which makes sense. She is the only octogenarian to actually be leaving her job at this point in time. And for that, she gets credit. She does not get a lot of credit for being a good force in American public life. She was good at vote counting. I will say that for Nancy Pelosi. She was very good at keeping her caucus in line. And if you look at sort of the periods of Nancy Pelosi's leadership, what you see is that there are a few sort of distinct periods in Nancy Pelosi's leadership. First, she became a member of the DNC in 1976 and became chair of the California Democratic Party in 1981. She joined Congress in 1987. It wasn't until 2002 that she became House Whip and then Minority Leader in 2003 while George W. Bush was President of the United States. She was Speaker twice, from 2007 to 2011, and then again from 2018 to 2022. Now, folks who are saying that she's the most impactful speaker in American history are missing out on Sam Rayburn. They're missing out on Newt Gingrich. They're missing out on a bunch of folks who are far more impactful than Nancy Pelosi. But what Nancy Pelosi was really good at was, during the brief periods of time when she actually ran the Congress, she was able to shove through extraordinarily large spending bills. This was the thing that she was able to do. And she was able to move her entire caucus to the left. When she joined Congress, she was largely considered one of the most left-wing members of Congress. Now, of course, she's been completely outflanked by the progressives, which in some ways is a sign of failure for her, that she's not remained at the vanguard of her own movement. But in other ways, is a demonstration of just how far left she's moved America. When there's an entire left-wing movement that is now to her left and that is constantly critical of her, I will say that her handling of the progressive squad, just in terms of pure tactics, has been quite smart. She's allowed them a lot of rope. She's allowed them to go out there publicly and say stuff. And then, behind closed doors, she beats them about the ears and forces them to vote for the things that she wants them to vote for. Now, what are the things that Nancy Pelosi is going to be remembered for? Well, first, she's going to be remembered for the fact that she has essentially tripled or quadrupled her net wealth while she was in Congress. I mean, that's the thing that people are going to go back to, is the simple fact that she is now extraordinarily wealthy, like a lot more wealthy than she was when she entered Congress, because her husband, Paul, is apparently amazing at picking stocks, just in coordination with political movements. And it's not suspicious at all. It's just it's good. It's probably clean and good. Everything is probably fine. In fact, you'll remember that just last year, there was a bill that was put up to ban members of the House from owning stock so that would prevent any conflict of interest. And she was like, no, I like when members own. Yeah, I would imagine you do like when members own stock, since you have radically increased your personal wealth.
Because this is a free market and people, we are a free market economy that should be able to participate in that. We have a responsibility to report in the stock. But if the people aren't reporting, they should be.
Okay, but when you report, 3 months in arrears of actually picking the stocks, and you're picking the stocks while you're regulating exactly the companies that you're picking, that's a little bit suspicious. The actual accomplishments of Nancy Pelosi, first of all, it is worthwhile noting here that the topsy-turviness of who holds Congress has been very, very high since about 1994. So between essentially 1930 and 1994, the Democrats just dominated the House of Representatives. I mean, really, really dominated it. And then Nancy Pelosi took over in Congress in 2006, and within 4 years, she'd run herself out of power. And now she was Speaker again for 4 years, and she ran herself out of power, which suggests that she has been too radical for the American people in terms of the policies that she's been promoting. But she has no regrets, because the way that she governed was always, okay, so I'm going to pass this giant bill that restructures large parts of the American economy, and then if they throw me out of office, it's too late. I already did it. And so her big accomplishments basically are when she was an opponent of George W. Bush, she was largely elected on the basis of opposing the Iraq War in 2003 and on the basis of Mark Foley, a Republican congressperson who was apparently going after the male aides. And so in 2006, you'll recall that Republicans lost the Congress in a massive sweep where Democrats won 60 votes in the House of Representatives. Her big move at that point was basically to block privatization of Social Security by George W. Bush and to yell about the Iraq War. And then after Barack Obama was elected president, she rammed through with essentially no bipartisan support a bevy of bills. And this is what she is most famous for, is keeping her caucus in line. If you're going to talk about the polarization in American politics, Nancy Pelosi is a key figure in that. Because when she took office in 2002, 2003, when she took a leadership position, there was still some crossover between the parties. There were still blue dog Democrats who were sitting in the Democratic Party caucus. And now there aren't. There are no blue dog Democrats in the Democratic Party caucus. Certainly in 1987, when she was elected to Congress, there's a wide variety of opinion inside the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi's leadership has been extremely polarizing. That doesn't mean she hasn't been successful in ramming through a bunch of stuff, mainly these giant spending plans. We're talking about, under Barack Obama, the Affordable Care Act, where she said one of the most famous things ever said by a speaker, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, which is a hell of a statement considering that when you are completely restructuring one-fifth of the American economy, you should probably know what you're doing before you pass the thing. But here was Nancy Pelosi saying just that.
You've heard about the controversies within the bill, the process about the bill, one of the other items. But I don't know if you have heard that it is a legislation for the future, not just about health care for America, but about a healthier America, where preventive care is not something that you have to pay a deductible for or out of pocket, that prevention is about diet, not diabetes. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
I mean, it's such an astonishing statement. We're going to have to pass the bill so we can find out just how amazing it's going to be. As it turns out, what it's going to do is complicate the health care system in the United States even more and not lower costs. So that's going to be just awesome. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First, folks, the most important part of the holiday season is being with family. Sadly, many of our wounded, ill, and injured service members are without the means to be with their loved ones this Christmas. Being apart, especially when ill or injured, can cause both them and their kids incredible stress and grief. No child should be without their parents on Christmas. That's why I support Luke's Wings, and you should too. Luke's Wings believes that every wounded warrior should spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, they've provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets, reuniting families with wounded warriors. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers and their kids are running out of time. Make a meaningful impact this Christmas. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. Again, lukeswings.org. Hard to think of a better cause than bringing together parents and children, particularly if those parents happen to be people who served the country in the most heroic possible way. Go check out lukeswings.org. Again, that is lukeswings.org. And give generously. That's lukeswings.org. She also helped to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She passed the giant stimulus package that did absolutely nothing for the economy and led to the slowest economic recovery since World War II under Barack Obama. Those were her big accomplishments while Barack Obama was president. That was with a D plus 40 majority in the House of Representatives. That was a huge majority. So she was able to get a lot of that stuff done, specifically because she had a huge majority. But the truth is that the stuff that really is impressive in terms of what she's been able to get done is all in the last 2 years. Because all the other stuff, you'd assume that any House Speaker who has a 40-seat majority in the House of Representatives is going to be able to do whatever is necessary. I mean, she had not only that majority in the House while Barack Obama was president, at least from 2008 to 2010, she also was gifted 60 seats in the Senate for the Democrats and a Democratic president. So you can pretty much do whatever you want at that point. I don't think that takes a lot of tactical maneuvering. And people say she's a great tactician. No, her real great tactics stuff actually was in the last couple of years. Not while Donald Trump was president. While Donald Trump was president, her basic function was more political polarization. You'll remember her saying, you remember during Donald Trump's State of the Union address, her literally getting up and ripping the State of the Union address in half and everybody cheering and clapping. Oh, it's just amazing. And then complaining about partisan politics and polarization in American politics. Nancy Pelosi is a great force here. Pretending that she is not is ignoring history.
And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
And there she is, posing for the cameras, ripping up the speech. Not once, but twice. What a heroine. She ripped up the speech. Yeah. And, of course, this is what the Democratic Party base loved about her, is that she was ripping up speech. It's all performative. You know, if you want to know how Congress became a performative area in American politics, Nancy Pelosi is a major figure in the performative politics of Congress, and how it became less of an institution designed to actually bring together people to pass public policy and more of a place where people get famous for slay queen kind of antics like this. And then Joe Biden became president, and her legacy has essentially been to ram through the most spending in human history. And here she did so with a D+5 majority. So this is really where you have to keep things together. This is where you have to be able to go to Pramila Jayapal and say to the Progressive Caucus, listen, I know you don't like this thing, but you're going to have to vote for it anyway because it's increased spending. And so her big legacy in the end is going to be this. It's going to be that she helped bankrupt the United States of America. So you can call her a great leader. You just have to ignore the fact that what she did actually was not very good. Under Joe Biden, obviously, passing the American Rescue Plan, the so-called American Rescue Plan, $2 trillion unnecessary inflation-causing bill. The Infrastructure Act, completely unnecessary, $1.2 trillion. The Inflation Reduction Act, another $1 trillion. All this sort of stuff, this huge spending agenda that Nancy Pelosi rammed through a Congress that was fairly narrowly divided. Again, admire the tactical ability of Nancy Pelosi while also recognizing that her main legacy is going to be corruption in Congress. Again, getting very personally rich off her position. It's going to be massive partisan polarization because I'm not aware that she has ever passed a serious piece of legislation with actual Republican support ever. I'm not going to count infrastructure because infrastructure is basically just like, can you get a few Republicans to sign on to roads? And the answer is maybe a couple. Her biggest thing was, I polarized Congress. I took majorities for brief periods of time, and I rammed through world-beating change that actually didn't benefit the American people. And, of course, she is very politically radical. The main contribution, the thing that, for which she is, in the overall span of time, going to be remembered, is forcing the country dramatically to the left. She is a radical politician, Nancy Pelosi. I know we've all forgotten this. She's a San Francisco radical. Everyone used to understand this. Now, again, because she's been outflanked by the AOC crowd, everybody sort of thinks of her as moderate, which is bizarre. She's not a moderate in any way, shape, or form. It was just last year that she was talking about abortion and said it was sinful. She used the word sinful to describe restrictions on abortion, which is a hell of a thing coming from a woman who calls herself a devout Catholic. I may not be a Catholic, but I do understand that Catholicism does not see restrictions on abortion as sinful. In fact, Catholicism has some things to say about sucking babies into things. Here is Nancy Pelosi turning religion on its head as a devout Catholic.
The fact that this is such an assault on women of color and women in lower income families is just sinful. It's sinful.
It's sinful.
It's wrong that they would be able to say to women what they think women should be doing with their lives and their bodies, but it's sinful, the injustice of it all. So thank you for making that central. And you did too, Dr. Hargrove. Thank you so much for making that so important.
It's sinful. So sinful. Sinful, sinful.
Yeah, but don't worry, guys. She is the moderate. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has 5 or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, Nancy Pelosi actually announces she is leaving. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
You're listening to KCNR Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
09.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nancy Pelosi, she's leaving, and man, it's been a ride. So she gave a speech yesterday with a bunch of teary-eyed Congress people there, just all tearing up, pretending that partisan politics is doesn't matter. Because, again, the sort of pomp and circumstance of American politics annoys me beyond all measure, because we basically build golden calves, and these are our politicians, and then we worship them. This is not a person worthy of worship. In fact, I'm not sure I can think of a single politician who's ever been worthy of anything remotely approaching worship, certainly not Nancy Pelosi. But again, credit to her for at least being the first member of the baby boomer generation to step down out of politics, since we now have an entire octogenarian generation running everything. Here's Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
I was riding in the car with my brothers, and they were thrilled and jumping up and down and saying to me, "Nancy, look, Nancy, look, there's the Capitol." And I keep, every time I'd say, "I don't see any capital. Is it a capital A, a capital B, or a capital C?" These elections, the people stood in the breach and repelled the assault on democracy. They resoundingly rejected violence and insurrection, and in doing so, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. There is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution. And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
So Gee, she's going to represent San Francisco. By the way, remember that time when San Francisco's a nice city? And she's been there for the entire downfall of the city of San Francisco, but she receives no blame for that whatsoever. The person who is going to replace her as the House Minority Leader is, of course, going to be Hakeem Jeffries. He is a congressperson from New York. He is considered a sort of progressive centrist, I would say. He's which means slightly to the right of AOC, slightly to the right of the squad. He's a self-described far-left Democrat. He first assumed office in 2013. According to Breitbart, he served as chair of the House Democrat Caucus since 2019. Now, he also happens to be an election denier. He literally tweeted out in November 24th of 2020 about Donald Trump, quote, "History will never accept you as a legitimate president," which I was informed is akin to treason, is if you say that elections are not to be accepted. And then he suggested again, same time, 2020, that his buddies in the Kremlin had gotten Donald Trump elected. He tweeted out in 2018, "The more we learn about the 2016 election, the more illegitimate it becomes. America deserves to know whether we have a fake president in the Oval Office. Hashtag Russian interference." He is going to be a radical in the mold of Nancy Pelosi. But again, the Democratic Party has been pulled so far to the left that Hakeem Jeffries is now perceived as not nearly as radical as he actually is. And meanwhile, the House Republicans are about to take over the majority. Kevin McCarthy, I think not incorrectly, says one of the reasons that Nancy Pelosi is announcing that she's not running for leadership is because she doesn't want a picture of handing me the gavel because it's embarrassing to her. There's probably some truth to this. Here's Kevin McCarthy last night.
All right, Nancy Pelosi is retired from the leadership. Steny Hoyer is retired from the leadership. They're going to have somebody hand the gavel over to you. That's the ultimate change in power. The symbolism is huge. Are they going to put somebody up there to do it?
Yeah, it has to be the minority leader, which I believe that'll be Hakeem Jeffries. But it's interesting. I had a friend text me. So I just saw Nancy Pelosi's finally been fired, but I think she's leaving because she's still staying in Congress. She just doesn't want to have to hand me the gavel. Probably that's the reason.
Okay, I mean, maybe, maybe not. But the bottom line is that she is definitely out. So the question becomes, okay, now the Republicans have a shot at it. What can they learn? Because you want to learn something from everybody. This is what the wise of the world do. They learn from everybody. What do you learn from Nancy Pelosi? Okay, number one, keep your caucus in line. Keep your caucus in line. Every Republican speaker of the past 20 years has made the signal error of thinking that if you do debt ceiling fights or government shutdowns, it's going to redound to your benefit. This has not worked well at all. That performative politics is somehow going to achieve what you want it to achieve. If politics was nationalized by Newt Gingrich, this is a point that my friend John Podhoretz makes at the New York Post today. Politics was nationalized in Congress by Newt Gingrich. Before that, everybody was sort of representative of your district, and the way this was supposed to work is everybody came to Congress, they brought their priorities to Congress, they sort of back-scratched each other. You ended up with these bills that were overall fairly moderate, but also included a bunch of pork for like a post office named after you in your hometown. And then in 1994, Gingrich ran on this nationalized platform in which all the Republican Congress people basically ran on the contract with America, and he won a sweeping victory. And this nationalized politics. And Gingrich was able to get a few things done, right? Like welfare reform he was able to get done, which is a pretty major thing. He was able to work with Clinton to lower taxes in certain areas. And then Nancy Pelosi really took it to a tight. She nationalized every election. Every election under Nancy Pelosi was nationalized. Well, Republicans, they can nationalize things, but they're going to have to govern. If you're going to nationalize the elections, if every election is going to be about national issues and not about what's happening in your local district, then you're also going to have to run your congressional caucus the way Nancy Pelosi did, with an iron rod. You're going to have to make sure that everybody is on board and that when you bring up a bill, you don't get all of the public fighting and arguing. You have to be good at vote counting. You have to be good at whipping your vote. You have to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And you have to pick fights that you know you can win. So take some actual tactical ability here. We'll see whether Kevin McCarthy has any of that tactical ability. The first people out of the gate, unfortunately for the House Republicans, the first people out of the gate are people who are announcing investigations. Now, I'm not anti-investigations. I think investigations are perfectly fine and in many cases legitimate. In fact, some of the investigations that members of the House are announcing, I think, are worthwhile. But there's no question that this is crowd-pleasing, base-pleasing stuff because congressional investigations overall are generally useless. When is the last time you had a congressional investigation that actually ended with any sort of congressional activity that was worth its salt? The answer is it almost never happens. It's a posturing exercise. Now, sometimes that posturing is necessary for political gain. Sometimes the posturing is useful for the American public. Most of the time, it's just a way for people to get on TV. And when it comes to getting reelected, when it comes to your caucus actually being successful in getting things done, it's a lot less about the posturing and a lot more about what it is that you want to get done. All righty, coming up, we'll get to the House Republicans. What do they plan to do taking over the House? Is it going to be smart or is it going to be posturing? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Reading Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Reading Kia. ReadingKia.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Minimum order may be required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the House Republicans are about to take over, so what are they going to do? Will it be smart? Will it be a bunch of stuff that they do for the press and the cameras and the base? So let's talk about what it is that the House is going to try to get done. The Wall Street Journal has a good rundown on what exactly Republicans are looking to do. They say that the end of the unified Democratic government will prevent Biden from following through on key 2020 campaign goals, including raising taxes on corporations and high-income households. Some tax legislation is still possible, thanks to bipartisan momentum for expanding tax breaks for retirement savings. There could be a deal to extend expired tax breaks and prevent some business tax increases scheduled to take effect under a law passed in 2017. There are some provisions of a 2017 law that are scheduled to expire after 2025. Democrats are probably not going to push forward any sort of extension of that, but Republicans are going to obstruct the Democratic attempts to raise taxes, which is definitely a positive for the American people. There's going to be talk about, for example, debt limits and raising spending. Okay, that is going to have to be discussed. The reality is that there is very little appetite inside the Republican caucus or by the American people more broadly. I mean, I wish there were, but politics is a game of reality. It's not a game of I wish. And the American public, I have yet to see a situation in which there's a government shutdown and the American public is super happy about it, even though I may be totally sanguine about it. When it comes to foreign policy, there are going to be some battles over the war in Ukraine. Presumably, Kevin McCarthy is going to be shepherding Congress into continuing funding, but I would assume with more oversight. That's going to be important. There will be attempts to block Democrats from enshrining abortion in federal law. Most of what's going to happen for the next couple of years is going to be obstruction. And there, I think that McCarthy actually has a fairly easy road. He's just going to be able to look at Joe Biden and say no. The question is going to be, what happens when Republicans actually take power? What sort of legislation are they going to be able to push forward? And more than anything, for the next couple of years, can you project a feeling of sobriety in your caucus? Because that's what this midterm election was really about. The reason the Republicans won a handful of seats instead of a wave of seats in a year in which Republicans across the country were plus four, that usually says wave. There was no wave. One of the reasons is because many Republican candidates in particular congressional districts did not feel sober to the public. What you need is a feeling of calm and sobriety. Can Republicans get their act together enough to actually project this? This is my concern about some of the focus on the investigations. Again, not that there shouldn't be investigations, but that they're actually done in a sober and thought out manner, as opposed to let me just go and shout in front of the cameras. So yesterday, there was an announcement by Representative James Comer that there will be an investigation to Hunter Biden. Again, this is sort of promises made, promises kept sort of stuff for Republicans. They said they would investigate Hunter Biden. That's all fine. I'm not sure that I would make that like the first thing that you say you are going to do after being elected to the majority, simply for political expediency. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. But don't make it like, we're taking power, we're going after the current president of the United States' son. That's like our top priority. I don't think it should be a Republican top. It should be a priority, sure, to investigate any sort of corrupt foreign affairs that are happening here. But is this what is meant to project a sense of sort of calm and stability to the American people going into 2024? I'm not sure that it is. Anyway, here is Representative James Comer of Kentucky.
We are releasing a report today that details what we have uncovered. We are also sending letters to the Biden administration officials and Biden family associates renewing our request for voluntary production of documents relevant to this investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the President of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the President's family. These include conspiracy or defrauding the United States, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, tax evasion, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality, from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution.
Yeah, I just have a question. Why is this your lead? Why is this what you're leading with? Like, day one, you announce you have a majority, and you're like, we're going after Hunter. Is that the priority of the American people? Maybe the priority of the base? Again, I'm happy to see an investigation. This is your lead? Republicans performed poorly in the general election because 13% of Republican voters in key states defected over to the other side. And also because independents voted for the Democrats in the last election cycle. And so your first move is, let's do this thing that appears to be super partisan to everybody. I just don't understand the tactical. Where's the tactics here? Where's the tactical brilliance? And if you have a bunch of members who are going to use Congress, see, here's what Nancy Pelosi basically did. What Nancy Pelosi basically did is she let AOC and Ilhan Omar and all these people go out there and shout about anything, but they had no power inside the caucus. They didn't do anything. They go out and did two interviews or Instagram stories or be on the cover of Rolling Stone, but they didn't actually have any power. And so if McCarthy's going to run his caucus well, what he's going to have to do is say, okay, you want to go out, you want to sound off to the press, you want to do it, fine. But the way this place is going to run is going to run like a smoothly oiled machine in which we pursue actual real issues the American people care about as a first priority. And we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but the walking is much more important than the chewing of the gum, at least in the public mind. I just don't understand why you would lead with this day one. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it doesn't bode well for the tactical brilliance of Republican leadership at this point. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, you need a better night's sleep. We all need a better night's sleep, and this means we need a mattress made just for us. I have one. It's called Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. So how are you going to know which Helix mattress works best for you? Well, they have this quick quiz. This Helix Sleep quiz takes 2 minutes, and it'll give you precisely the mattress you need. Your personalized mattress is then shipped directly to your door free of charge, and Helix knows there's no better way to test out that mattress than by actually sleeping on it, which is why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. Try out your new Helix mattress and see how your body adjusts. If you decide it's not the best fit, you are welcome to return it for a full refund. Everybody is unique. Everybody sleeps differently. So why would you get a mattress made for somebody else? Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. This is their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Again, helixsleep.com/Ben. Get up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows when you order today. By the way, there are certain things that you could say that would please the base and would still be things that are worthwhile doing. So, for example, Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio, he says one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be overseeing Joe Biden's DOJ. Like, this is an actual thing that seems worthwhile to me. Because, again, this is a function of Congress, is to oversee the executive branch and make sure that it doesn't overstep its boundaries. Here's Jim Jordan yesterday.
Is the FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before the election. Maybe it'd be nice if the FBI and the Justice Department just stayed out of it and let we the people decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us. That's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature of the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story, again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
Okay, again, I just have a question. Why couldn't you just say, listen, the DOJ, one of our first tasks over at the Judiciary Committee is to oversee the DOJ, which has been targeting parents. Why wouldn't that be the lead? Why is Hunter Biden the lead? Why is the 2016 election the lead? This is all the stuff the American people in 2022 were like, eh. But it turns out there is stuff the DOJ is doing that pisses off the American people. And those things include going after parents. Tactical competence, guys, is going to be a necessity here. I don't know how many times Republicans can pull defeat out of the jaws of victory, but they seem to be up to the challenge. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Again, McCarthy better get this thing in order, or he's not going to be worth his salt as speaker. It's that simple. The one thing that you can say for Kevin McCarthy is that when you climb the greasy pole and you make it to the top, this means, theoretically, that you're supposed to be tactically smart. Again, Paul Ryan was sort of thrust into this position when he was made Speaker of the House simply because he was famous and he'd run for vice president under Mitt Romney and because he had these ideas about restructuring entitlements. But it wasn't as though Paul Ryan was known as a tactician in Congress. That wasn't his thing. He was an idea guy in Congress. Kevin McCarthy, theoretically, should be known as a tactician. He's the only young gun left. I remember when there was a triumvirate of the young guns. It's Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and Eric Cantor. The only one who's left is Kevin McCarthy. And now he's going to be Speaker of the House. So show the tactical maneuvering capacity of a Mitch McConnell or a Nancy Pelosi and you'll be successful. That's your job. Your job is not going to be to allow your caucus to run free and wild shouting about things the base loves, but the American people are not particularly entranced with. Okay, meanwhile, over at Twitter, complete mayhem, according to the media. People are freaking out over the current activities over at Twitter. So what exactly is happening over at Twitter? Well, CNN's Oliver Darcy has now branded it Twitter's last gasp, which is a radical overstatement of the case. Basically, what happened is that Elon Musk put out an ultimatum that all of his employees should come to work extremely hardcore. Basically, he said, we are not going to be doing this routine where employees get to run the place. You need to commit to working long hours and working hard and fixing this or leave. This is a couple days ago. He issued an ultimatum to Twitter employees. He said, commit to a new hardcore Twitter or leave the company with severance pay. Twitter is shifting to an engineer-driven operation, one that will need to be extremely hardcore going forward, according to the midnight email obtained by the Washington Post. Employees were asked to click an icon and respond by Thursday if they wanted to stay. He said this will mean working long hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. By mid-Wednesday, members of Twitter's trust and safety team, which of course is the most ideologically driven part of the Twitter company, they were discussing a mass resignation, and then apparently they engaged in a mass resignation. According to the Washington Post, hundreds of people working at Twitter said that they were going to leave. They refused to sign a pledge to work longer hours. According to the Washington Post, the number of engineers tending to multiple critical systems had been reduced to 2, 1, or even 0. So it went from like 20 in a particular department to 2 people in a particular department. Now, people on Twitter who don't understand how Twitter works, they think what this means is that basically engineers are in the back room, and every time you tweet, what happens is that they take your tweet, they retype it onto a floppy disk, they take the floppy disk, they upload it into like a computer from 1950 that fills a room, and then that's how your tweet goes up. And so if you don't have people, 1,000 Twitter employees, who every day are just re-inputting the tweets, the thing's just going to break down. In 24 hours, it's going to shut down. That's wrong. What the engineers are there to do is they are there to stop an emergency meltdown. So somebody hacks the system, for example, or there's a major bug that crashes the system. Instead of having 20 guys, you now have 2. So that means that the critical systems, if they come under attack, that could be a problem. But the way the media are treating it, it's like, oh, my God, well, tomorrow it's going to go dark. It's just going to wind down. That is not right. In an early sign, the number of those declining to sign was greater than anticipated. Musk eased off a return-to-office mandate he had issued a week ago, telling employees Thursday they'd be allowed to work remotely if their managers assert they are making an excellent contribution. But apparently, several workers are saying that the precarious position has been reached. A former employee said, quote, I know of 6 critical systems, like serving tweets level of critical, which no longer have any engineers. There's no longer even a skeleton crew manning the system. It will continue to coast until it runs into something, and then it will stop. Okay, that would be an implication regarding the possibility of an emergency. So how many people are still remaining? Apparently, somewhere between 75 and 88% of all the people working at Twitter when Musk took over are basically gone at this point. Musk eliminated roughly 50% of the 7,500-person workforce when he first took over. A former Twitter executive told CNN that this was a mass exodus. I asked about the situation. A former executive said Elon is finding out he can't bully top senior talent. They have lots of options, and they won't put up with his antics. They will struggle just to keep the lights on. That assessment was universally shared by a half dozen current and former employees that spoke with Oliver Darcy on Thursday. Now, you would imagine they would say that, right? Everybody who leaves the company says about their old company, the place is going to fall down without me. Darcy says Twitter management was in panic mode. Hours before the deadline passed, people familiar with the matter said, explaining senior leaders were scrambling to convince talent to stay on at the company. Now, while all of this is happening, Twitter is reaching new heights in users. Twitter continues to have massive traffic. They're going to have to go out. They're going to have to hire back some engineers. What this is Twitter's most perilous moment in terms of how you actually rebuild Twitter. There was going to come a moment where everybody who's not ideologically aligned and enthusiastic about working for Trump was going to have to leave. That moment has just been accelerated. So instead of sort of a slow walk to this point where a Twitter engineer that Musk didn't like was let go and a new one replaced him, instead of that, basically everybody who Musk would have fired anyway is leaving at the same time, which means they're short staffed right now. The question is going to be whether they can staff up quickly enough to prevent the ship from running into the iceberg. That's essentially what's going on right now. Jeff Siebert, a former head of consumer product at Twitter, said, according to the New York Times, that the company's situation was, quote, sad and disappointing, and that Mr. Musk's leadership had caused confusion for users, advertisers, and employees. Of all the companies that don't need more drama, it's Twitter, said Siebert. Now, the media are going nuts over this because the media spend literally all day on Twitter. In which case, probably, you know, they also say learn to code. Maybe they should learn to weld. Maybe that's the thing that needs to happen right here. But, you know, the notion that, that Twitter is about to go under forever, or that if even if Twitter went under for 24 hours, you think that, that they wouldn't get it back up and running? It'll become more buggy. It'll become worse for a month, and then it'll get better. Honestly, I think it will get better. And the reason I think it will get better is because I do not actually, I actually believe that a lot of these tech companies are wildly overstaffed. There's no way that Twitter needed 7,500 employees. That is not a thing that was necessary in the first place. And a lot of what's going on right now is also that members of the media, forget about the sort of chaos inside, members of the media are eager to see Twitter fail because they don't like Musk, and they don't like what Musk has done to Twitter, which is open the place up. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the media are ecstatic because Twitter is having some troubles. We'll get into that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sack.
Enterprise High School's winter concert is Tuesday, November 29th at 7 p.m. at the David Marr Amphitheater at UPREP. Enjoy holiday music led by choir director Alyssa Awney and band director Gabriel Sakuma. Tickets are on sale now and can be purchased at Enterprise Music Office at 530-222-6601 through enterprisemusic.net or can be purchased at the door the evening of the concert. All proceeds benefit the students of the Enterprise High School Music Department.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. The media are ecstatic because Elon Musk's Twitter is hitting some rough road. Okay, so the celebration in the media, you can sense it, over Twitter's troubles. It really is about Musk, right? They hate Musk. They don't like the fact that Musk disagrees with them politically. And so they are fully excited about the fact that 90% of the workforce over at Twitter is gone. Now, that excitement is going to turn to sheer rage and tears if it turns out that Musk has sufficiently cleared out the place that he's able to hire back new employees. Twitter keeps running, except on a fraction of its old budget, and suddenly it looks profitable. Because it turns out you didn't need 7,500 employees over at Twitter. Maybe you only need 700 employees over at Twitter, or 1,000 employees over at Twitter. It saves you a lot on the other end. It also means that a lot of these tech companies are going to look at their own employee base and go, wait a second, do we need this many people working for us? We're already headed into a tech recession. And forget about whether there's a generalized recession. Tech leads the way because so much of the extraordinary amount of money that was flowing through the economy was invested in tech that you created another tech bubble. It's very reminiscent of like 1999, 2000, when Pets.com was a massive, massive stock. And you're seeing that now with Facebook. I mean, Facebook stock is down just Meta. Their stock is down unbelievably. And they're laying off tens of thousands of workers. And the same thing is happening even at Amazon, which is an actual profitable and solid company, one of the biggest companies in the country. They're laying off tens of thousands of workers. So if Musk is able to lay off this much of his workforce, you think other big tech companies aren't going to look at their own workforce and go, guys, we are way overstaffed. There's going to be a lot of people learning to weld if that is the case. But a lot of people rooting against Musk, obviously. And that includes a bunch of people in the government. And the simple fact of the matter is that the members of the left would love to see Twitter go down. They would love to see Musk go down. This is why Democratic lawmakers are calling for an investigation of Elon Musk. Now, I've yet to see them call for an investigation into, for example, Jeff Bezos, a billionaire, buying the Washington Post. But it's really, really bad to allow Musk to basically run his company. And so you have Democrats like Ed Markey going after Elon Musk. On Thursday, seven Democratic senators called for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate whether the company had violated a consumer privacy agreement with the agency since Musk took it over. The letter followed the resignations of Twitter security executives last week after Musk appeared to change some of the company's data security practices. So now they're going to investigate him. It's funny. They're perfectly happy, by the way, to work hand in glove with other big tech companies. I mean, in fact, as we learned yesterday in a public hearing, Chris Wray, the head of the FBI, he says that the FBI might actually be gathering their actual private Facebook data without a warrant. That apparently does not warrant any sort of congressional upset or investigation. But Musk changing data practices internally at Twitter without government involvement, that's totally fine. Here was Chris Wray admitting, basically, that Facebook is allowing backdoor data grabbing from the federal government.
Director Wray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Okay, so that's great. That's great. No congressional investigation there under the Democratic Senate, but they are definitely going to go after Twitter. Again, their hatred for Twitter knows no bounds. A spokesperson for the FTC declined to comment. The agency previously said it was tracking recent developments at Twitter with deep concern. Jeff Siebert, the former head of consumer product at Twitter and apparently full-time commentator for the New York Times, he's like the only person who they talked to, called the company's situation sad and disappointing, of course. So those are his favorite words. Meanwhile, I'll tell you where they're not having heartburn. Where they're not having heartburn in the media is over the fact that CNN is preparing mass layoffs. That apparently is totally fine. So mass layoffs at Twitter demonstrate that the company is on the ropes and might collapse. Mass layoffs at CNN, that's just the way it goes over there. According to Just the News, CNN chief executive Chris Licht announced this week layoffs at the news company as a cost-cutting measure amid the network's financial woes and unsuccessful foray into streaming. Teams not essential to the network's core mission are likely to see their positions disappear, Licht said in a town hall with employees, according to the UK Daily Mail. Licht did not detail which teams or how many jobs are on the chopping block. The network CEO has been tasked with cutting $100 million from the network's budget from superiors at Warner Brothers Discovery, the outlet noted. He previously claimed in June that layoffs were not on the table. Well, so much for that. Apparently mass layoffs are now on the table, which is not a shock because CNN had sunk an awful lot of money into CNN Plus, which was a giant fail. But this does not merit any sort of media freakout. What merits a media freakout is an internal staffing issue over at Twitter that, by the way, is likely to be solved because most problems with staffing eventually can be solved with money and good job offers, which presumably is what they are doing over at Twitter headquarters today. We'll find out whether Musk can pull a rabbit out of the hat this time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. 3 days after former President Trump announced his 2024 presidential campaign, the Biden administration Justice Department appoints a special counsel to go after Trump. In what many are calling an obvious political move, Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints Prosecutor Jack Smith as a special counsel to oversee a Democrat investigation into the events of January 6th and documents taken from the former president's home in an FBI raid. A judge turns away Jen Psaki's effort to halt a subpoena.
A judge has refused to quash a subpoena issued to former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki that seeks her deposition in a lawsuit filed by Missouri and Louisiana. It alleges that the Biden administration conspired to silence conservative voices on social media. Psaki filed a motion in federal court Friday in Alexandria seeking to quell the subpoena, saying that she had no relevant information to provide and that a deposition would place an undue burden on her. I'm Shelley Adler.
Another Uvalde, Texas police officer steps down.
The officer who was leading the city's police department during the hesitant law enforcement response to the elementary school shooting that killed 19 children and two teachers has left the force. Lieutenant Mariano Pargas has retired effective immediately after 18 years working for the city. He's the second police leader to leave law in the fallout since the May massacre, when hundreds of officers waited for more than an hour to confront the gunman at Robb Elementary School. Pargas was running the department during the shooting because the chief was out of town. John Scott report.
Idaho police released a new timeline in the stabbing deaths of four students in a home near campus Sunday. Two of the victims went to a party, got home around 1:45. The other two were at a bar until 1:30 and then stopped by a food truck on the way home. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The level of volatility in the markets right now, there are massive opportunities for investors who know what to look for and have the right tool to find it. I'm Grayson Rose, author of Trading for Dummies and senior market strategist at StockCharts.com, inviting you to take StockCharts.com for a test drive. As the most robust stock charting tool out there, you see what the analysts see. Spot the trends, set alerts to buy or sell, and discover new opportunities. There are so many undervalued companies in the last 3 months alone, you just need the right data to spot them. Claim your free 30-day trial now by going to StockCharts.com. I'm a firm believer that the best predictor of the future is the past, and StockCharts.com enables you to spot historical trends for any stock. Then, make informed decisions and invest with confidence. Start your free 30-day trial today, and you'll receive exclusive member-only features, educational resources, and timely market insights. Better information leads to better trading, and it starts at StockCharts.com.
There's a major recall at Ford.
Ford is recalling more than 550,000 F-150 vehicles in the U.S. and Canada. The problem has to do with the 2021-22 models. The front windshield wiper motor may stop functioning, which means the wipers won't work. And the automaker is concerned about reduced visibility in certain conditions that could increase the risk of an accident. Recall notification letters are expected to be mailed January 3rd of next year, and those affected will get a new front windshield wiper motor for free. I'm Shelley Adler.
Qatar reportedly banning beer sales at the 8 stadiums where the World Cup soccer matches will be played beginning Sunday. Qatar officials decided suddenly on Friday to ban beer sales in the stadiums. The World Cup kicks off Sunday. It's expected to draw more than 1 million visitors from 31 countries. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Christmas season officially begins at the U.S. Capitol with the arrival of the Christmas tree Friday morning. This year's tree is from North Carolina. Jim Kaufman, director of the Capitol Grounds and Arboretum.
For more than a half a century, the Forest Service have searched national forests each year to find the perfect candidate to serve as the people's tree. This year, we're honored to have this red spruce nicknamed Ruby from the Pisgah National Forest in western North Carolina's Appalachian Mountains.
The official tree lighting ceremony will take place on the Capitol's West Lawn on November 30th. President Biden's plan to provide up to $20,000 in federal student loan forgiveness blocked by two federal courts. Friday, the Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to reverse one of the lower court decisions. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive understands that now's the time to get everything done on your holiday shopping list. And the last thing you need to worry about are the unexpected dents from shopping carts, door dings, and fender benders. That's why Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center offers free estimates. They can schedule a time that works best for you. And it's about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So I left L.A. because it was turning into a complete pothole of civilization. Well, they're not reversing course over in Los Angeles. You get what you pay for. Los Angeles continues to be an absolute bleep show. And they had a chance to change course by electing Rick Caruso. In fact, there were many Democrats who wanted to elect Rick Caruso. It was a very close race with Karen Bass. Karen Bass has been a lifelong member of the city bureaucracy in Los Angeles. And Karen Bass was running for mayor. She won narrowly over Caruso, who actually had built a thing. She's never built anything, Karen Bass, as far as I'm aware. Rick Caruso had built the Grove. He'd been involved in the Americana. He'd actually built some of the most beautiful things in Los Angeles before they were wrecked by rioters and burned. He ran. He was endorsed by people, including like Katy Perry. He lost. And now Karen Bass is the new mayor of Los Angeles. So never change course. Never stop, never stopping over in Los Angeles. Here was Karen Bass yesterday vowing to end homelessness in the city, which, by the way, has completely destroyed the city. One of the major reasons that we abandoned our home in Los Angeles and fled to the free state of Florida is because, yes, homelessness is a crisis in Los Angeles. You're talking something like 75,000 people who are homeless in L.A. County. And it's not just a crisis for the people who are homeless. It's a crisis for public safety. It's people who are openly using drugs on the streets in suburbia. It's people who are mentally ill, some of whom are dangerous, running around in suburbia actually committing crimes, break-ins and violent crimes. It's people who are spreading disease on sidewalks. Like, it's a real problem in L.A. So much so that Karen Bass had to address it during her victory speech. She said she's going to end homelessness. There's only one problem. Her plan to end homelessness is not going to end homelessness. Here's Karen Bass.
The people of Los Angeles have sent a clear message. It's time for change and it's time for urgency. Tonight, 40,000 Angelenos will sleep without a home, and five might not wake up. Many Angelenos do not feel safe in their neighborhoods, and families are being priced out of their communities. This must change. And so to the people of Los Angeles, my message is we are going to solve homelessness. We are going to prevent and respond urgently to crime, and Los Angeles will no longer be unaffordable for working families.
Okay, so how is she going to solve homelessness? So the way Rick Caruso presumably is going to solve homelessness is he was going to actually arrest people for loitering and trespassing, and he was going to make it illegal to leave your crap out on the streets, and he was not going to allow homelessness to flourish. The way that she is going to do it is she's going to throw an enormous amount of money at the problem. If you actually go over to her website, homelessness is the number one issue on her website running for mayor, tackling homelessness in Los Angeles, and here's what she says is the problem. 40,000 Angelenos experience homelessness every night. Experience homelessness. It's just something that breaks upon you like a virus or something. A disproportionate number of those experiencing homelessness are Black, Latino, LGBTQ, and or formerly incarcerated. 352,000 Angelenos are at risk of becoming homeless. I don't even know how you measure that. Are you just saying that people who are impoverished are the people who become homeless? Because it's actually, homelessness is not always linked, and I would say it's not largely linked, to general economic conditions. I mean, the fact is that I've heard from Democrats we have a historically good economy. So I'm just wondering how it is that supposedly so many people can't afford housing that they're living on the streets, or why they, if they have no jobs, why they're living. It's not like they're going over to their job and then they're going back to their box on the street corner in Skid Row in L.A. That's not how this is working. Surveys of the homeless in Los Angeles show they are heavily, disproportionately, like almost entirely, drug using, people who are having significant mental illness problems. There's group of people who are temporarily homeless. They're homeless shelters for those people with lots of beds. But that's not what Karen Bass is going to do. She says there's no time to waste. So what exactly is she going to do? Well, first of all, she's going to appoint a homelessness chief. Oh, that'll do it. A czar for homelessness. She's also going to maximize state funding. So she's going to ask the state of California to commit $12 billion to build housing units. Housing units. Because that's going to fix the problem. Now, in Seattle, when they had a serious homeless crisis, which they still do, they tried something called the drunk dorms. This is what it was colloquially called. Basically, they opened up housing units. And they told people that they couldn't originally. They said, you can't use drugs or alcohol here if you're going to stay here. And homeless people were like, nope, not going to go there. I like doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to go stay there. So then they got rid of those rules. And it turns out that people would come and they would wreck the place. Shocker. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. It turns out that what you actually need, if you wanted to actually solve homelessness, there are a few things you would need to do. And these are not partisan issues. One is, you would actually need to put people, give people a choice if they are drug abusers, between going to mandatory rehab and going to jail. This is what you'd have to do. If there are people who are severely mentally ill, you would need to have involuntary commitment. You need to actually put them in places where they can be put on the drugs they need in order to become sane again, in order to be put back in the realm of sanity. The fact that homelessness has been able to spiral out of control is a testament to the stupidity of the idea that mental illness, that serious mental illness, is a freedom issue as opposed to a health issue. But she says that she is going to build more temporary housing. She's going to identify all available land. And then I guess she's going to put up trailers or something, which will be great. That'll solve it. And by the way, it won't draw more homeless people to the city of Los Angeles. She wants to convert motels, hotels, shuttered hospitals, and vacant commercial spaces into homeless shelters. Which sounds amazing. They're just gonna spend an enormous amount of money on all this. If you look again at the numbers that she releases, these are numbers she releases. 50% of people who suffer from homelessness are suffering from mental illness or substance abuse. By the way, that is low. That is definitely low. 60% are people who are formerly incarcerated. She says that 68% are men, by the way. So this idea that it's sort of poor women who are disproportionately affected by homelessness, that is not true. Nowhere in here does she say that what you actually need to do is provide mental health services for people who have serious mental illness and make it illegal to camp on the street. She's not doing any of that. She says that she's going to be steadfast in addressing the root causes of homelessness. How is she going to do that? She's going to prevent homelessness by keeping folks in their homes. She says that 50% of the individuals who enter homelessness for the first time cite economic hardship as the primary factor for losing their home. What else would they cite exactly? Economic wellness? Studies estimate that 3 out of 4 L.A. households are rent burdened, meaning they spend over 30% of their household income on rent and utilities, making it extremely likely they are one medical bill or car repair away from ending up on the streets. So it's income inequality. Ah, higher taxes will do it. Higher taxes and higher spending. And housing vouchers. That'll probably solve the problem. So congratulations to L.A. on doubling down on the stupid. I hope that you enjoy the ride. You know, by the way, remember that time that California was supposed to be beautifully run? Gavin Newsom claimed that he had a surplus. You remember this? that California was bringing in extraordinary amounts of taxpayer dollars. Actually, during the pandemic, California did make money. California actually brought in more money from federal stimulus and from basically giant government payouts and bailouts than it lost due to the pandemic shutdown. So we were told that they had solved their deficit crisis. Oops. They had a previous projection. You ready for this? A previous projection of $97 billion surplus that led them to expand Medi-Cal eligibility to all immigrants in 2024, paid family leave, free preschool for four-year-olds, a boost in the earned income tax credit. So they were projecting a $97 billion surplus. This is just a couple of years ago. Now, they're projecting a $25 billion budget deficit next year alone. Slow clap for all the morons who used the budget surplus projection that didn't actually exist to spend more money than has ever been created. The state's legislative analyst office, which advises lawmakers on California's fiscal outlook, delivered the sober news on Wednesday, according to the LA Times. It comes months after an estimated historic budget surplus provided Newsom and the Democratic-led legislature with an abundance of riches to expand government assistance. Well, those riches didn't exist. It was a projection. This is exactly what CalPERS does, right? All of their pension programs in California are predicated on defined benefits plans, not defined contributions, defined benefits. So basically, it doesn't matter what you put in. What you get out is going to be a lot more than what you put in. How do they pay for that? They just project that CalPERS is going to invest in the markets and get a 7% return year on year. If you could guarantee me a 7% return year on year, man, Warren Buffett's your stockbroker. Like, that's what they do over in California. It's all fake. Newsom and lawmakers in June approved a $17 billion relief package to help families, seniors, low-income Californians, and small businesses, including $9.5 billion in stimulus payments to Californians struggling with high gas prices and increased inflation. Now, the financial forecast says a sizable portion of the projected revenue shortfall could be offset by lowered spending. They're also going to lower education spending because it turns out that keeping kids out of school because of COVID allows you to lower the education spending. But they say that if there's a recession, then the outlook gets even worse. It's well done by Gavin Newsom and the California State Legislature turning a non-existent surplus, a projected surplus, into a massive projected deficit. Republican Assembly Leader James Gallagher blamed the state's financial circumstances on Democratic leaders who, he said, quote, overtaxed Californians and grew government while ignoring investments in critical infrastructure like new water storage. The state is expected to have $22 billion in general reserves by the end of the 2023-24 fiscal year to address budget shortfalls. Legislative leaders emphasized in recent years the state has devoted most of its surplus revenue to one-time spending. They said that they're responsible, but no, they're not. Again, this is not even counting the unfunded liabilities in the state of California, which are all those pension fund contracts that they signed. So, again, these are the people that Democrats would love to be out there for 2024. People like Gavin Newsom, who have run their state directly into a ditch and created immense deficits out of projected budget surpluses. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, you need a better night's sleep. We all need a better night's sleep, and this means we need a mattress made just for us. I have one. It's called Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. So how are you going to know which Helix mattress works best for you? Well, they have this quick quiz. This Helix Sleep quiz takes 2 minutes, and it'll give you precisely the mattress you need. Their personalized mattress is then shipped directly to your door free of charge, and Helix knows there's no better way to test out that mattress than by actually sleeping on it, which is why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. Try out your new Helix mattress and see how your body adjusts. If you decide it's not the best fit, you are welcome to return it for a full refund. Everybody is unique. Everybody sleeps differently. So why would you get a mattress made for somebody else? Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. It's their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Again, helixsleep.com/Ben. Get up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows when you order today. Already coming up, the Democrats are stuck with Joe Biden, but they're not happy about it. So now they're pushing Gretchen Whitmer. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Vaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive understands that now's the time to get everything done on your holiday shopping list. And the last thing you need to worry about are the unexpected dents from shopping carts, store dings, and fender benders. That's why Vaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center offers free estimates. They can schedule a time that works best for you. And it's about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Vaco at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Veterans. Did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So CNN has decided who it would like to see in 2024 for the Democrats, Gretchen Whitmer or something. It's all fantasy. Joe Biden's running again, barring some sort of catastrophic medical failure, like more catastrophic than actually being dead, like him being super dead. Barring that, he will be the nominee in 2024. But Democrats are already fantasizing about who comes after Joe Biden because he is 80 years old. One of the people they're trotting out there is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Most famous for allowing her husband to violate all the COVID rules while everybody else was forced to follow the COVID rules. Gretchen Whitmer is now projecting that she is a moderate, which is a shock to anyone who lives in Michigan.
Let's start with the warning over this domestic extremism. Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas says that domestic violent extremism poses the most lethal and persistent terrorism-related threat to the country right now. What needs to be done?
Well, first of all, congratulations on the show. I'm glad to be with you. And I think our overwhelming victory last week tells you that the public doesn't want extremism. They want people who are going to make their lives better, solve problems. Extremism doesn't help people pay the bills. What does is a good paying job and a governor is going to solve problems.
No, you are not representative of that perspective. I'm just noticing that Gretchen Whitmer as moderate is definitely a new pitch from the media. Everybody is moderate, according to me. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is moderate, according to our media. She also says that the economy in Michigan is thriving, which is weird considering that it is one of the worst states in America for unemployment, actually. Unemployment in America right now is really, really, really low. Again, thanks to high inflation rates and high spending and everybody having a lot in the bank because of all the fake money that's been blown in their bank accounts. Right now, unemployment in the United States is at historic lows, like 3.6%. That's the average. Her state's at 4.1%. But here she is talking about how she's fixed the Michigan economy.
One of the things you have said you want to do also is repeal the Right to Work Act, which essentially prohibits contracts that require workers to pay union fees as a condition of employment. There's been some criticism of that. Maybe it could hurt job growth. What's the argument for repealing that?
So I think one of the things that we often see when it comes to conversations like this is a false choice, right? We are seeing our economy thriving here in Michigan. And so I reject, false choices that you can only do one or the other.
Meanwhile, Caitlin Collins at CNN, she couldn't hold herself back. She's like, why don't you run for president? What's stopping you from running? You're so wonderful, Gretchen. Please run for president, please. Why is CNN failing, guys? Why are they cutting jobs? I don't understand.
What is the argument for you not running for president?
I literally 8 days ago got elected to a second four-year term. This is, the state that I've always called home. I love the state of Michigan. I am so grateful to be the governor of the state of Michigan. I've got a big task ahead of me, and that's where I'm going to put 100% of my focus for now.
Okay, so that is not a question that a member of CNN should be asking a sitting governor. What's to prevent you? What's the case against you running? You should definitely run. We would love for you to run. Oh! We need somebody besides et cetera. Okay, so meanwhile, on the right side of the aisle, nobody has declared for president except for Donald Trump. He declared literally a week after the election, which, as I said, is a unique strategy. It's never happened before in American history for a prior president to run again and announce his campaign pretty much the week after the midterms. It used to be that you would wait until the year of an election to declare that you were running. Then it became the year before. Now we are the year before, which is a very, very long time for Donald Trump to be out there by himself. He will be helped by people like Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, because who is seen as Trump's rival is going to matter a lot. It's not just that you can be anti-Trump and pick up the people who don't really love Trump. You actually have to be a Republican that people trust. I will tell you, a Republican people do not trust would be Asa Hutchinson. Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, is widely considered to be a left-leaning Republican on a wide variety of social issues that actually matter to people. You'll recall that the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, vetoed a bill that would have banned child mutilation in his state. The Arkansas legislature then overrode that veto with mostly Republican votes. And Hutchinson said that he was disappointed that lawmakers had banned people from giving double mastectomies to minors, for example, for no reason other than gender confusion. He said at the time, I wanted to express my own personal view. This is too extreme. It was too broad. It didn't grandfather in young people who are currently under hormone treatment. It puts these really vulnerable population in a more difficult position. It sends the wrong signals to them. In my veto, I wanted to say to my Republican friends and colleagues, we've got to rethink our engagement in every aspect of the culture wars. The Republican Party that I grew up with believed in a restrained government that did not jump in the middle of every issue. I don't know what Republican you grew up in, what party you grew up in that believed that conservatism was more about small government than about preventing actual child abuse. Small government doesn't mean that you don't think the child abuse should be prosecuted or prevented. But that's who Governor Asa Hutchinson is. And now he's out there. He's like Larry Hogan from Maryland. His whole cadre of left-leaning Republicans are like, well, maybe I'll be the anti-Trump voice. No, you won't. You will just split the people who don't like Trump. That's all you will do. And you will earn 2% of the primary electorate. You have no pathway. All you will do is provide exactly the sort of sounding board off of which Donald Trump can bounce. Donald Trump requires an opponent to hit. Asa Hutchinson is like the Jeb Bush of 2024. Here's Hutchinson saying that he might announce for the presidency in January. Come on.
I agree with the vice president. There's going to be a number of alternatives in 2024 to the former president's announcement.
Look, are you potentially one of those alternatives?
Absolutely. I'm looking at it very seriously. After the midterm elections, it's more intense and it's an accelerated review. And after going to Iowa, I'm encouraged that a governor who's actually solved problems, who has a conservative, common sense approach, can draw support and can be a good alternative. So I'm encouraged by it. Probably looking at January for a decision point.
Nope. But we're going to do all stupid things will become new again, as the prophecy foretold, as the old woman foretold when she opened the crypt. All the bad things will come forth once again. I mean, like, come on. Are we going to do 2015, 2016 again? Seriously? Is that what we're going to do? Donald Trump has about 25 to 30% of the Republican base locked up. He does. Which means 70% of the base is not locked up. Many people are open to the possibility of somebody else. Are Republicans then going to split in the primaries by throwing out 1,000 candidates like Asa Hutchinson, who has no support whatsoever? Think it through. As a candidate, think it through. Like, what is your point here? I get it if you're former Vice President Mike Pence and you think that you have some name recognition and you also think, hey, what's the worst that happens? I become sort of a stalking horse and Trump spends all of his days attacking me and then somebody else gets elected and that's okay. or if you're Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, but you're the governor of Arkansas, and you have no public awareness, and you're most famous in the Republican base for vetoing stuff that the base likes, that's going to, you're Larry Hogan and Merrill, like, what in the world, what in the actual world, all you're doing is providing a pathway for Trump. You're providing him a target to hit. It's so tactically inept, but I guess that is the theme of today's show, is tactical ineptitude. Amazing, amazing stuff happening here. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by Arthur Brooks of the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. It's a great piece at The Atlantic over why American happiness is collapsing. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join us this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With a cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Jack's Radio, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, December 1st through 4th. Featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at cascadetheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, a Reading tradition.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Arthur Brooks. He's the William Henry Bloomberg Professor of Practice of Public Leadership at Harvard Kennedy School, Professor of Management Practice at the Harvard Business School. He is also over at American Enterprise Institute. Arthur, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. So you have a great piece over at The Atlantic today titled Americans Pursuing Happiness in the Wrong Places. And it's all about the fact that, you know, essentially we've been investing our time and our effort in all the wrong places. So where would be the right places for us to invest ourselves, especially going into the holiday season? It's time for a lot of people to recalibrate.
Yeah, you know, this is what I teach at Harvard. Believe it or not, I teach the Science of Happiness course at the Harvard Business School, which is a very oversubscribed class. I mean, I realize that supply chain management sounds more interesting, but happiness turns out to be what people want. And one of the things that I tell them is that the happiest people, they all have a set of habits in common. Kind of your happiness 401k plan. And the world doesn't tell you to do this. The world tells you money, power, pleasure, fame. But the right four are faith, family, friends, and work that serves other people. And that's exactly what our society has been pushing Americans away from. And that's the reason our happiness is in decline.
So one of the things that you point out in this article is that there are essentially a bunch of institutions that have been falling apart in the United States, and people's happiness has been declining because of that failure, that as people fail to affiliate with these institutions, happiness has been declining. You mentioned religious affiliation, you mentioned marriage, you mentioned friendship, and you mentioned workforce. And, I mean, each one of these, let's take these in turn, because it is obvious that this has a serious effect on public discourse. And if you mention this sort of stuff, by the way, you become very unpopular very quickly, because we have decided to sort of ingest and then throw out to the world this idea that what Western member, being a citizen of the West, really is about is atomistic individualism that rejects literally all of these things that we're talking about right now. So let's start with religious affiliation, which has become increasingly unpopular in the West. It seems as though we're on a glide path to complete irreligion in the same way that Europe is an irreligious continent. Is that sort of the trend?
Well, that's what it looks like. I don't actually think it's quite that dire. And the reason is because we tend to wax and wane in religious affiliation in the United States. And I think we're due for a great new spiritual enlightenment, some of it through traditional religious affiliation, some of it through other methods. But the point is that having a serious understanding of your life philosophy, your faith, your spirituality. You and I are traditionally religious people. You're Jewish, I'm Catholic, and we practice it very seriously. But anybody who actually gets a zoom out on the boring day-to-day existence, the tedium of my life, my work, my money, it's so terrible. And we get enlightenments of that from time to time. And generally speaking, that's through traditional religious affiliation. So it's bad right now. We're losing a percentage point of people who are religious or spiritual every single year. But I believe that, and good, people who are like you and me, who are traditionally religious, we got to get after it and start bringing people the beauty, the joy that actually comes from understanding there's something bigger than us.
Now, Arthur, I think that one of the big things here in this particular segment of what you're talking about that's truly troubling is how many religious institutions have decided to essentially, you know, what C.S. Lewis would call moderate their view of religion, that religion is sort of an adjunct to life. It's not a core part of life. It doesn't really have any eternal truths to teach. It's sort of a place where you get together. At the very least, you have to take the values of modernity and inject the values of modernity into traditional religion, which leads people to ask a pretty obvious question. If you're injecting the values of modernity into religion, why do you need the values of religion at all? Why not just use the values of modernity?
No, it's true. And this is the same thing that we find actually from the worst parents. You know, they want to get closer to their kids, and their kids are pushing away and being really rebellious. And so they say that's okay, and they start chasing their kids into, you know, the heterodoxy, into the chaos that actually is adolescent life. And later on, kids will always say, the thing I hated the most is when my parents, like, didn't lay down the rules anymore. And the same thing is true for any institution that sets the boundaries. We push against it. That's normal. That's how humans behave. But we want to know that there actually are boundaries. There are rules. There is right and wrong. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you which religion.
I'm not even going to tell you you shouldn't study the Stoic philosophers instead. What I'm going to say is there are things that work better than other things, and we need to feel the discomfort of saying that that is actually constricting my behavior.
So, Arthur, the other thing that you talk about in your piece, one of the four things that we're talking about is marriage rates. So, again, another thing that's unpopular to talk about is the fact that marriage has been completely redefined and has fallen apart in the United States. Marriage rates have fallen, as you say, 38% since 2000. If you go back to 1950, it's fallen a lot more than that. The marriage rates started to decline really in the United States in about the mid-1980s with the complete win of no-fault divorce in the United States. Childbearing has also fallen dramatically since 1990. We are not even close to replacement rates, and it is likely to fall still further as more and more people decide that they're going to remain single over the course of their life. Each succeeding generation is marrying later and less than the preceding generation in the United States right now. Number one, why has that happened? And number two, is there anything that can be done to revitalize that in an age when marriage has basically been redefined as cohabitation, romantic partnership, but having nothing to do with the actual propagation of a family unit?
Yeah, no, the one thing to keep in mind, Ben, which is really interesting, too, over the past 15 years, that cohabitation has fallen, too. So what we really have here is not a marriage crisis, although we have that. We have a love crisis in this country. And what happens is the polarity inside societies oscillates between fear and love. You know, you find this in families, you find it in companies, you find it in countries and communities. And right now we really are in a fear polarity, which is horrible. It's absolutely miserable. And that's why men and women are afraid of each other. We have all of the, you know, these culture wars that we have in you know, virtually every segment of society. It's not based on hatred. Hatred is downstream from fear. And so what we actually need is for people to, I mean, I'm not trying to be a Berkeley Summer of Love kind of guy here in 1968. I'm a traditional conservative, but let me tell you, I will take that 10 times out of 10 over the fear and the anger and the depression and the hatred that people have and the loneliness that actually comes from that. So yeah, more and more marriage. But what I really want is a lot more romantic love.
And it seems so why exactly has romantic love declined? Is that just an effect of the internet? Is that an effect of the sexes not understanding one another because we've actually obliterated the idea that there are differences between the sexes? So it's very hard to understand something when you're getting a completely wrong picture of it. Well, what's happened here?
Well, that is another thing that's actually throughout history has you've seen these trends and these very funny movements of actually believing that you know, people having children, people having sex, people actually falling in love with each other. That's kind of culturally passé or even evil under certain circumstances. And we're kind of in a secular religion of this idea that traditional romance, that the kind of traditional love is falling out of favor. And that's it's kind of a fad. It's sort of a crisis, and it's exacerbated by the terrible things that we find with internet dating and social media in general. So what you find, for example, is that internet dating is based on this engineering solution to a complex human problem of the heart that says if you actually get the algorithm right and you're compatible enough, you're actually going to find the love of your life. And that's actually not how it works at all. We actually need to be, we don't need to be so compatible. We need to be more complementary to each other. We need people around us who are helping us to meet people that might be perfect for us that we could never find at the basis of a computer algorithm. And we don't need to be afraid all the time of how everything we've ever done in our lives is actually being recorded for total e-posterity, which can come back to ruin us and people can stalk us forever. The truth is that all of the tools to make love easier have made us lonelier.
We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, I want to invite you to a higher calling on the Ben Shapiro Show. Will you join me? We've partnered with Preborn. It's an organization whose sole mission is to rescue babies from abortion. Preborn clinics are located in the top abortion areas in the country, where the majority of abortions still take place. Preborn offers love, support, and free ultrasounds to women. It's the nation's largest provider of free ultrasounds. You see, when a woman meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. The majority of the time, she's going to choose life. For just $28, you can save a life with one ultrasound. For $140, you can help rescue 5 babies' lives. Now, through a match, your gift is doubled, saving twice as many babies. To donate securely, just call #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. All gifts are tax deductible. Preborn is a 501c3 organization. Preborn babies need our help. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to stop women from getting ultrasounds, especially because they know that women who see ultrasounds tend to preserve the lives of their preborn children. Help out Preborn today. Go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro, or call #250 and say keyword baby. Resuming with Arthur Brooks, he's William Henry Bloomberg Professor of Practice of Public Leadership over at Harvard Kennedy School and Professor of Management Practice at Harvard Business School. Has a great piece in The Atlantic about how happiness in America is falling off. So we've talked about religion. We've talked about marriage. The other aspect that you talk about here is friendship, that the percentage of people with fewer than 3 close friends has nearly doubled since 1990. That seems, I would obviously bet money that that has something to do with the first two things. I mean, most people who say that they have close friends also probably have a solid marriage and are members of a religious community. It's a lot easier to find people with whom you have something in common when you go to church with them every Sunday. And it's a lot easier to find people that you can share time with when you actually have a partner or a spouse than it is when you are just by yourself. And there are also no social spaces where people even meet anymore. That's just not how people interact. This one seems like it should be largely attributable to the rise of the internet and this ersatz friendship that doesn't actually amount to friendship.
Yeah, no, ersatz friendship is exactly right. The huge problem with the internet is that it promises everything. That social media in particular promises these relationships. What they give you instead is a simulacrum for these relationships. There's a lot of good neuroscience on this, Ben. For example, there's a neuropeptide that functions like a hormone in the brain called oxytocin. We all know about this. It's the bonding hormone. It makes you love people with eye contact and touch. But you need eye contact and touch. You can't get it over Facebook, where it's everything is virtual. And so the result is that people will binge on social media because they're lonely, trying to get this oxytocin that they crave, and they don't even know that this is the thing that they're missing. It's kind of like having all of your meals, eating burgers and fries and milkshakes, where you get your caloric needs, but you don't meet your nutrition needs. And so you're hungry all the time, but you're unhealthy. And that's exactly what's happening. Worse and worse, more tenuous relationships, greater loneliness. And now added this Zoom work, where people are saying, yeah, it's really convenient. I want to do it forever. But I don't know why I hate my job and why I'm so lonely all the time. That's why being at work in person is incredibly important for almost everybody's life so that they'll have more friendship.
And then finally, you talk about workforce participation rate. We've talked on the show with Nicholas Eberstadt about the percentage of men who are dropping out of the workforce. It's obviously a dramatic fail by men. One of the things that has happened, again, all these things tie together. The decline of marriage has really had a massive effect on workforce participation rate among men, because one thing that is a very durable social science finding is that men earn more when they get married. Men who are single, they work fewer hours. They feel less necessity to earn. They earn to sort of get by. And then they have families, and suddenly I've got a wife and a kid to support, and I need to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Marriage declines. There's no real rationale for men to go out and work harder, and so men are dropping out of the workforce. Meanwhile, women are working more; they're having fewer kids, and it's really almost a weirdly bifurcated demographic when you talk about working women. You've got working women who have kids out of wedlock and are very poor, and then you have working women who are highly educated and who, by the way, also have much higher marital rates than poor women. People tend to think of the working woman as a PhD, college grad, who is working a high-powered job at a law firm and is unmarried until she's 40. That's actually, in the United States, a fairly small demographic. It exists in New York and L.A., and it doesn't exist nearly anywhere else. It turns out that people who are more highly educated get married more and then are existing in two-earning couples, two-income couples. Why is the workforce participation rate among men declining so much, do you think?
Well, part of it is exactly what you say. You know, the essence of dignity in life, and dignity is at the center of happiness, is to be needed. This is the most important thing that we need to keep in mind. Despair comes from not being needed as a person. This is the reason the welfare state was so catastrophically, you know, it failed poor people so much, because it treated them like liabilities to manage as opposed to assets to develop. You know, you can spend as many trillions of dollars as you want, and you're not going to help people if they get the despair of being needed. Nobody's stupid. They know when they're liabilities. And when you go from a society that says, basically, we need you, and say, all right, I'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'll go to work, and weirdly, I'm happy. Weirdly, I'm happy because I have someplace to go, I have something to do, I have something to come home from. But when nobody needs you, well, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And this is the situation that a lot of men are in for lots of reasons, as it turns out. They've been left behind by the economy. They've been left behind by the culture. They don't know what to do. Nick Eberstadt is the best demographer in the world on this very subject. It's not a demography of work. It's a demography of dignity is what we're talking about.
Well, that is Arthur Brooks. Check out his great piece on family and religion and happiness over at The Atlantic this week. It really is fantastic. Arthur, great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Ben.
A little bit more on this in a moment. First word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/hire.
ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
All right, coming up, remember that time that Joe Biden said that the Saudis were pariahs and we had to ostracize them and all the rest? Well, now he is using his legal means to protect them. Shocker, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they've just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, open 2:30 to 6 p.m. at 2051 Hilltop, Suite A3, offers a unique halo therapy experience to immerse yourself in salt. It can help with stress, anxiety, athletic performance, respiratory issues, snoring, long-haul COVID, help restore taste and smell. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave offers take-home salt packs for bloating, inflammation, and anxiety, salt lamps with color therapy, and gift certificates. Book now, 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
X96-25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Remember that time that Joe Biden said that he hated the Saudis, but now he kind of loves the Saudis again? And he spent like an awful lot of time during his campaign of 2020 talking about how the Saudis were terrible and evil and no good and very bad, all because of the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, a Muslim Brotherhood associated op-ed writer for the Washington Post, who was a green card holder. You remember that? Remember how after he was killed by people backed by the Saudi government or members of the Saudi government? You remember that Joe Biden said that they were going to be a pariah state. We're going to reexamine our relationship. And then you remember how just before the election, he went on bended knee to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and he asked them, please, please, will you pump a little more oil? Please, I'll get that oil right down and maybe I'll end the midterms. And then he fell asleep. Remember that? And then the Saudis were like, dude, isn't that election manipulation from a foreign source? And aren't you threatening us on the other end? Doesn't that sound a lot like what you accused Donald Trump of doing in 2019 with Ukraine? Remember Joe Biden did all that stuff? Well, now the rubber has hit the road, because it turns out that there are people who are members of Khashoggi's family who are suing the Saudi royal family in the United States. And Joe Biden's administration is now stepping in to, wait for it, protect the Saudi royal family. So that whole thing about how they're a pariah state and we must never stand for human rights abuses and the Saudi royal family, they're in our black book of evil. They're on our list, man. No. According to the Associated Press, the Biden administration declared on Thursday that Saudi Arabia's crown prince should be considered immune from a lawsuit over his role in the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, a turnaround from Joe Biden's passionate campaign trail denunciations of Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the brutal slaying. The administration said the senior position of the crown prince, Saudi Arabia's de facto ruler and recently named prime minister as well, should shield him against the suit brought by the fiancé of Jamal Khashoggi and by the rights group Khashoggi founded, Democracy for the Arab World Now. By the way, Democracy for the Arab World Now was not really in favor of democracy. It was in favor of, I would say, publicly elected radical Muslim Sharia law extremists, Muslim Brotherhood folks. Democracy used to mean a little bit more than just people get to vote. It actually used to be connected with, you know, democratic values like free speech and property rights, but no longer. The request is non-binding. A judge will ultimately decide whether to grant immunity. It is bound to anger human rights activists and many U.S. lawmakers, coming as Saudi Arabia has stepped up imprisonment and other retaliation against peaceful critics at home and abroad and has cut oil production, a move seen as undercutting efforts by the United States and its allies to punish Russia for its war against Ukraine. The State Department on Thursday called the administration's call to shield Saudi crown prince purely a legal determination. The State Department cited longstanding precedent. They said they take no views on the merits of the present suit, and they reiterate their unequivocal condemnation of the heinous murder of Jamal Khashoggi, but they also are intervening in order to ensure that he can't be sued, Mohammed bin Salman. The State Department said, from the earliest days of this administration, the U.S. government has expressed its grave concerns regarding Saudi agents' responsibility for Khashoggi's murder. There was no mention of the Crown Prince's alleged role. You'll remember that in 2019, Joe Biden said, quote, it was a flat-out murder. I think we should have nailed it as that. I publicly said at the time we should treat it that way. There should be consequences relating to how we deal with that power. But it turns out that Joe Biden has no actual, there's nothing to back the talk. So essentially, he likes to virtue signal, which we knew already. And so the virtue signaling will continue apace. It is just worthwhile noting at this point that that the guy who says that he is a moral force in the world is perfectly willing, apparently, to back the Saudi crown prince when the rubber meets the road. Realpolitik always wins. Meanwhile, this administration continues to pretend that we do not have an immigration problem, despite the fact that they are admitting we have an immigration problem. So Alejandro Mayorkas, our garbage Department of Homeland Security head, he says, you know, we're seeing significant challenges at the border. They're challenges now. It's not a crisis. It's a challenge. It's sort of like terminal cancer. It's a challenge. It's not a crisis, per se. Here's Alejandro Mayorkas saying it's a significant challenge, guys.
I would ask you for a yes or an answer to go to the southern border. I've been to Colombia twice in the last year, very aware of what's going on with regard to the displaced people out of Venezuela, and for that matter, Nicaragua, Cuba. But the question is all the more pressing. So what are we doing about it? Shouldn't we be changing our policies at the border to deal with it instead of having this result? So my question to you again, is the southern border currently in crisis, yes or no?
We are seeing a significant challenge at the southern border as we're seeing it throughout the hemisphere.
Chief Ortiz stated yes. So you know, you're working towards chief, but he said the obvious, which is yes.
Okay, but then he was asked specifically, will you say there's a border crisis? And he's like, well, no, not going to say whether there's a border crisis. I mean, I'm not going to use the word crisis because there might be a headline that there is a crisis. There's been a crisis for 2 years. Here we go. DHS.
Secretary, I'm going to ask you the same questions that the Chief of Border Patrol was asked to see if you agree with him. And if you could, please just give me a yes or no answer as he did. The first question, is the southern border currently in crisis, yes or no?
Ranking Member Portman, the entire hemisphere is suffering a migration crisis. We are seeing an unprecedented movement of people from country to country. It is not restricted to the southern border. We are seeing an unprecedented movement of people throughout the Western Hemisphere.
Unprecedented, but not a crisis. Not a crisis. By the way, how many apprehensions have we had at the border in the last year? 2.3 million, according to the head of DHS. Don't worry, not a crisis. Everything's fine.
Do you agree that the unprecedented number of unlawful migrants are entering, that an unprecedented number of unlawful migrants are entering the United States right now? Yes or no?
Ranking Member Portman, I believe that the number of encounters that we have had at the border, I think it is approximately 2.3 million this past year, is the highest on record.
Okay, so the answer is yes by Chief Ortiz, and sounds like you agree with him on that.
But they're doing an amazing job. They're doing an amazing job. By the way, you know why they are perfectly happy to have this much illegal immigration at the southern border? Because Chuck Schumer literally said 2 days ago, we're not having enough babies in this country, so we need more immigrants to fill our welfare coffers, basically. We need more people here working, and they need to come from south of the border because we're not making babies here. It's amazing how the Democrats will just say the thing that many people on the right have been saying for a long time, and it's good when they say it, but it's bad when anybody notices, is the rule of the day here. Because here's the thing, Alejandro Mayorkas has the authority to shut the border. Is he doing it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He and his friends in the administration don't want to shut the border. They would like to keep it very much open. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back on Monday with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Western New York is getting a big dose of winter, and it's only going to get worse with an estimated 3 to 4 feet of snow by Sunday. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown is calling on everyone to stay home due to the heavy snow.
When the snow is falling between 3 to 4 to 5 inches an hour, you can't beat it. You are going to get stuck. So we need people to follow the guidelines.
Public Works Commissioner Nate Martin says there needs to be a driving ban in South Buffalo.
Coming back from my time there today, number of cars, as already referenced, off the road, abandoned. That's hampering our efforts, but it's really putting the residents in harm. So, again, the urge to stay home.
An audio courtesy of WKBW. A letter signed by several Democrat senators urges the FDA to ease restrictions on abortion pills. Bob Agnew reports.
The letter, crafted by Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and signed by a handful of Democrats, claims the end of Roe v. Wade leaves millions of women at risk for what the letter calls life-saving care. In 2020, more than a half of all abortions in the U.S. were carried out using drugs, and the letter calls on the FDA to reduce restrictions on their use. The Democrat push to make Roe v. Wade federal law could likely be advanced now only by executive action, since Democrats enjoy only a slight majority in the Senate, and the House once again falling under Republican control. Bob Agnew reporting.
Another busload of illegal immigrants arrives at the Washington, D.C. doorstep of Vice President Harris. Around 50 were dropped off Friday morning. This group of illegal immigrants come from Ecuador, Argentina, and Nicaragua. 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. This according to LendingClub.com. It's an increase from the 56% who said the same thing last year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-940-6161. That's 1-800-940-6161. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-940-6161. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
U.S. home sales fell in October for the ninth straight month, correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes fell in October for the ninth month in a row to the slowest pre-pandemic sales pace in more than 10 years. Homebuyers grapple with sharply higher mortgage rates, rising home prices, and fewer properties on the market. The National Association of Realtors says existing home sales fell 5.9% last month from September to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.43 million. Sales fell 28.4% from October last year. I'm Norman Hall.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas filed a consumer protection bill that'll make sure you know if your smart devices are eavesdropping on your conversations. The bill orders the FTC to create reasonable disclosure guidelines for products that have audio or visual recording components. things like dryers or refrigerators and dishwashers. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints a special prosecutor to oversee Biden administration investigations targeting former President Trump. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has more.
Jack Smith, a former chief of the Justice Department's unit that investigates public corruption, will take on the new role, which operates largely independent of Justice Department controls under decades-old federal regulations. Garland said in a statement, quote, "I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint the special counsel. Such an appointment underscores the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. It also allows prosecutors and agents to continue their work expeditiously and to make decisions indisputably guided only by the facts and the law." Bernie Bennett reporting.
And the White House is claiming ignorance, saying they did not know about the special counsel, and they say President Biden did not know either. The appointment of the special counsel comes 3 days after Mr. Trump announced his intentions to run for president in 2024. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, we bid a fond farewell to Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. In the next term of Congress, she will not be standing for House Minority Leader, which makes sense. She is the only octogenarian to actually be leaving her job at this point in time. And for that, she gets credit. She does not get a lot of credit for being a good force in American public life. She was good at vote counting. I will say that for Nancy Pelosi. She was very good at keeping her caucus in line. And if you look at sort of the periods of Nancy Pelosi's leadership, what you see is that there are a few sort of distinct periods in Nancy Pelosi's leadership. First, she became a member of the DNC in 1976 and became chair of the California Democratic Party in 1981. She joined Congress in 1987. It wasn't until 2002 that she became House Whip and then Minority Leader in 2003 while George W. Bush was President of the United States. She was Speaker twice, from 2007 to 2011, and then again from 2018 to 2022. Now, folks who are saying that she's the most impactful speaker in American history are missing out on Sam Rayburn. They're missing out on Newt Gingrich. They're missing out on a bunch of folks who are far more impactful than Nancy Pelosi. But what Nancy Pelosi was really good at was, during the brief periods of time when she actually ran the Congress, she was able to shove through extraordinarily large spending bills. This was the thing that she was able to do. And she was able to move her entire caucus to the left. When she joined Congress, she was largely considered one of the most left-wing members of Congress. Now, of course, she's been completely outflanked by the progressives, which in some ways is a sign of failure for her, that she's not remained at the vanguard of her own movement. But in other ways, is a demonstration of just how far left she's moved America. When there's an entire left-wing movement that is now to her left and that is constantly critical of her, I will say that her handling of the progressive squad, just in terms of pure tactics, has been quite smart. She's allowed them a lot of rope. She's allowed them to go out there publicly and say stuff. And then, behind closed doors, she beats them about the ears and forces them to vote for the things that she wants them to vote for. Now, what are the things that Nancy Pelosi is going to be remembered for? Well, first, she's going to be remembered for the fact that she has essentially tripled or quadrupled her net wealth while she was in Congress. I mean, that's a thing that people are going to go back to, is the simple fact that she is now extraordinarily wealthy, like a lot more wealthy than she was when she entered Congress, because her husband, Paul, is apparently amazing at picking stocks, just in coordination with political movements. And it's not suspicious at all. It's just it's good. It's probably clean and good. Everything is probably fine. In fact, you'll remember that just last year, there was a bill that was put up to ban members of the House from owning stock so that would prevent any conflict of interest. And she's like, no, I like when members own. Yeah, I would imagine you do like when members own stock, since you have radically increased your personal wealth.
Because this is a free market and people, we are a free market economy that should be able to participate in that. We have a responsibility to report in the stock. But if people aren't reporting, they should be.
Okay, but when you report, you know, 3 months in arrears of actually picking the stocks, and you're picking the stocks while you're regulating exactly the companies that you're picking, that's a little bit suspicious. The actual accomplishments of Nancy Pelosi, first of all, it is worthwhile noting here that the topsy-turviness of who holds Congress has been very, very high since about 1994. So between essentially 1930 and 1994, the Democrats just dominated the House of Representatives. I mean, really, really dominated it. And then Nancy Pelosi took over in Congress in 2006, and within 4 years, she'd run herself out of power. And now she was Speaker again for 4 years, and she ran herself out of power, which suggests that she has been too radical for the American people in terms of the policies that she's been promoting. But she has no regrets, because the way that she governed was always, okay, so I'm going to pass this giant, giant bill that restructures large parts of the American economy, and then if they throw me out of office, it's too late. I already did it. And so her big accomplishments, basically, are when she was an opponent of George W. Bush, she was largely elected on the basis of opposing the Iraq War in 2003, and on the basis of Mark Foley, a Republican congressperson who was apparently going after the male aides. And so in 2006, you'll recall that Republicans lost the Congress in a massive sweep, where Democrats won 60 votes in the House of Representatives. Her big move at that point was basically to block privatization of Social Security by George W. Bush and to yell about the Iraq War. And then after Barack Obama was elected president, she rammed through with essentially no bipartisan support a bevy of bills. And this is what she is most famous for, is keeping her caucus in line. If you're going to talk about the polarization in American politics, Nancy Pelosi is a key figure in that. Because when she took office in 2002, 2003, when she took a leadership position, there was still some crossover between the parties. There were still blue dog Democrats who were sitting in the Democratic Party caucus. And now there aren't. There are no blue dog Democrats in the Democratic Party caucus. Certainly in 1987, when she was elected to Congress, there's a wide variety of opinion inside the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi's leadership has been extremely polarizing. That doesn't mean she hasn't been successful in ramming through a bunch of stuff, mainly these giant spending plans. We're talking about, under Barack Obama, the Affordable Care Act, where she said one of the most famous things ever said by a speaker, "We have to pass the bill to find out what's in it," which is a hell of a statement, considering that when you are completely restructuring one-fifth of the American economy, you should probably know what you're doing before you pass the thing. But here was Nancy Pelosi saying just that.
You've heard about the controversies within the bill, the process about the bill, one of the items. But I don't know if you have heard that it is a legislation for the future, not just about health care for America, but about a healthier America, where preventive care is not something that you have to pay a deductible for or out of pocket, that prevention is about diet, not diabetes. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
I mean, it's such an astonishing statement. We're going to have to pass the bill so we can find out just how amazing it's going to be. As it turns out, what it's going to do is complicate the health care system in the United States even more and not lower costs. So that's going to be just awesome. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, folks, the most important part of the holiday season is being with family. Sadly, many of our wounded, ill, and injured service members are without the means to be with their loved ones this Christmas. Being apart, especially when ill or injured, can cause both them and their kids incredible stress and grief. No child should be without their parents on Christmas. That's why I support Luke's Wings, and you should too. Luke's Wings believes that every wounded warrior should spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, they've provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets, reuniting families with wounded warriors. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers and their kids are running out of time. Make a meaningful impact this Christmas. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. Again, lukeswings.org. Hard to think of a better cause than bringing together parents and children, particularly if those parents happen to be people who served the country in the most heroic possible way. Go check out lukeswings.org. Again, that is lukeswings.org, and give generously. That's lukeswings.org. She also helped to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She passed the giant stimulus package that did absolutely nothing for the economy and led to the slowest economic recovery since World War II under Barack Obama. Those were her big accomplishments while Barack Obama was president. That was with a D plus 40 majority in the House of Representatives. That was a huge majority. So she was able to get a lot of that stuff done, specifically because she had a huge majority. But the truth is that the stuff that really is impressive in terms of what she's been able to get done is all in the last 2 years. Because all the other stuff, you'd assume that any House Speaker who has a 40-seat majority in the House of Representatives is going to be able to do whatever is necessary. I mean, she had not only that majority in the House while Barack Obama was president, at least from 2008 to 2010, she also was gifted 60 seats in the Senate for the Democrats and a Democratic president. So you can pretty much do whatever you want at that point. I don't think that takes a lot of tactical maneuvering. And people say she's a great tactician. No, her real great tactic stuff actually was in the last couple of years, not while Donald Trump was president. While Donald Trump was president, her basic, again, her basic function was more political polarization. You'll remember her saying, you remember during Donald Trump's State of the Union address, her literally getting up and ripping the State of the Union address in half and everybody cheering and clapping. Oh, it's just amazing. And then complaining about partisan politics and polarization in American politics. Nancy Pelosi is a great force here. Pretending that she is not is ignoring history.
And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
And there she is, posing for the cameras, ripping up the speech. Not once, but twice. What a heroine. She ripped up the speech. And of course, this is what the Democratic Party base loved about her, is that she was ripping up speech. It's all performative. You know, if you want to know how Congress became a performative area in American politics, Nancy Pelosi is a major figure in the performative politics of Congress, and how it became less of an institution designed to actually bring together people to pass public policy and more of a place where people get famous for slay queen kind of antics like this. And then Joe Biden became president, and her legacy has essentially been to ram through the most spending in human history. And here she did so with a D+5 majority. So this is really where you have to keep things together. This is where you have to be able to go to Pramila Jayapal and say to the Progressive Caucus, listen, I know you don't like this thing, but you're going to have to vote for it anyway because it's increased spending. And so her big legacy in the end is going to be this. It's going to be that she helped bankrupt the United States of America. So you can call her a great leader. You just have to ignore the fact that what she did actually was not very good. Under Joe Biden, obviously, passing the American Rescue Plan, the so-called American Rescue Plan, $2 trillion unnecessary inflation-causing bill. The Infrastructure Act, completely unnecessary, $1.2 trillion. The Inflation Reduction Act, another $1 trillion. All this sort of stuff, this huge spending agenda that Nancy Pelosi rammed through a Congress that was fairly narrowly divided. Again, admire the tactical ability of Nancy Pelosi while also recognizing that her main legacy is going to be corruption in Congress. Again, getting very personally rich off her position. It's going to be massive partisan polarization because I'm not aware that she has ever passed a serious piece of legislation with actual Republican support ever. I'm not going to count infrastructure because infrastructure is basically just like, can you get a few Republicans to sign on to roads? And the answer is maybe a couple. Her biggest thing was, I polarized Congress. I took majorities for brief periods of time, and I rammed through world-beating change that actually didn't benefit the American people. And, of course, she is very politically radical. The main contribution, the thing that, for which she is, in the overall span of time, going to be remembered, is forcing the country dramatically to the left. She is a radical politician, Nancy Pelosi. I know we've all forgotten this. She is a San Francisco radical. Everyone used to understand this. Now, again, because she's been outflanked by the AOC crowd, everybody sort of thinks of her as moderate, which is bizarre. She's not a moderate in any way, shape, or form. It was just last year that she was talking about abortion and said it was sinful. She used the word sinful to describe restrictions on abortion, which is a hell of a thing coming from a woman who calls herself a devout Catholic. I may not be a Catholic, but I do understand that Catholicism does not see restrictions on abortion as sinful. In fact, Catholicism has some things to say about sucking babies into sinks. Here is Nancy Pelosi turning religion on its head as a devout Catholic.
The fact that this is such an assault on women of color and women in lower income families is just sinful. It's sinful. It's wrong that they would be able to say to women what they think women should be doing with their lives and their bodies, but it's sinful, the injustice of it all. So thank you for making that central, and you did too, Dr. Hargrove. Thank you so much for making that so important.
It's sinful, so sinful, sinful, sinful. Yeah, but don't worry, guys. She is the moderate. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has 5 or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape? Get your business the refund money. Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, Nancy Pelosi actually announces she is leaving. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
9.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nancy Pelosi, she's leaving, and man, it's been a ride. So she gave a speech yesterday with a bunch of teary-eyed Congress people there, you know, just all tearing up, pretending that partisan politics is doesn't matter. Because, again, the sort of pomp and circumstance of American politics annoys me beyond all measure because we basically build golden calves, and these are our politicians, and then we worship them. This is not a person worthy of worship. In fact, I'm not sure I can think of a single politician who's ever been worthy of anything remotely approaching worship, certainly not Nancy Pelosi. But again, credit to her for at least being the first member of the baby boomer generation to step down out of politics, since we now have an entire octogenarian generation running everything. Here's Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
I was riding in the car with my brothers, and they were thrilled and jumping up and down and saying to me, Nancy, look, there's the Capitol. And I keep, every time I'd say, I don't see any Capitol. Is it a capital A, a capital B, or a capital C? These elections, the people stood in the breach and repelled the assault on democracy. They resoundingly rejected violence and insurrection, and in doing so, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. There is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution. And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
So she's going to represent San Francisco. By the way, remember that time when San Francisco's a nice city? And she's been there for the entire downfall of the city of San Francisco, but she receives no blame for that whatsoever. The person who is going to replace her as the House Minority Leader is, of course, going to be Hakeem Jeffries. He is a congressperson from New York. He is considered a sort of progressive centrist, I would say. He's which means slightly to the right of AOC, slightly to the right of the squad. He's a self-described far-left Democrat. He first assumed office in 2013. According to Breitbart, he served as chair of the House Democrat Caucus since 2019. Now, he also happens to be an election denier. He literally tweeted out in November 24th of 2020 about Donald Trump, quote, "History will never accept you as a legitimate president," which I was informed is akin to treason, if you say that elections are not to be accepted. And then he suggested again, same time, 2020, that his buddies in the Kremlin had gotten Donald Trump elected. He tweeted out in 2018, "The more we learn about the 2016 election, the more illegitimate it becomes. America deserves to know whether we have a fake president in the Oval Office, hashtag Russian interference." He is going to be a radical in the mold of Nancy Pelosi. But again, the Democratic Party has been pulled so far to the left that Hakeem Jeffries is now perceived as not nearly as radical as he actually is. And meanwhile, the House Republicans are about to take over the majority. Kevin McCarthy, I think not incorrectly, says one of the reasons that Nancy Pelosi is announcing that she's not running for leadership is because she doesn't want a picture of handing me the gavel because it's embarrassing to her. There's probably some truth to this. Here's Kevin McCarthy last night.
All right, Nancy Pelosi is retired from the leadership. Steny Hoyer's retired from the leadership. They're going to have somebody hand the gavel over to you. That's the ultimate change in power. The symbolism is huge. Are they going to put somebody up there to do it?
Yeah, it has to be the minority leader, which I believe that'll be Hakeem Jeffries. But it's interesting. I had a friend text me. So I just saw Nancy Pelosi's finally been fired, but I think she's leaving because she's still staying in Congress. She just doesn't want to have to hand me the gavel. Probably that's the reason.
Okay, I mean, maybe, maybe not. But the bottom line is that she is definitely out. So the question becomes, okay, now the Republicans have a shot at it. What can they learn? Because you want to learn something from everybody. This is what the wise of the world do. They learn from everybody. What do you learn from Nancy Pelosi? Okay, number one, keep your caucus in line. Keep your caucus in line. Every Republican speaker of the past 20 years has made the signal error of thinking that if you do debt ceiling fights or government shutdowns, it's going to redound to your benefit. This has not worked well at all. That performative politics is somehow going to achieve what you want it to achieve. And politics was nationalized by Newt Gingrich, is a point that my friend John Podhoretz makes at the New York Post today. Politics was nationalized in Congress by Newt Gingrich. Before that, everybody was sort of representative of your district, and the way this was supposed to work is everybody came to Congress. They brought their priorities to Congress. They sort of back-scratched each other. You ended up with these bills that were overall fairly moderate, but also included a bunch of pork for, like, a post office named after you in your hometown. And then, in 1994, Gingrich ran on this nationalized platform in which all the Republican Congress people basically ran on the contract with America, and he won a sweeping victory. And this nationalized politics. And Gingrich was able to get a few things done, right? Like welfare reform he was able to get done, which is a pretty major thing. He was able to work with Clinton to lower taxes in certain areas. And then Nancy Pelosi really took it to a tight. She nationalized every election. Every election under Nancy Pelosi was nationalized. Well, Republicans, they can nationalize things, but they're going to have to govern. If you're going to nationalize the elections, if every election is going to be about national issues and not about what's happening in your local district, then you're also going to have to run your congressional caucus the way Nancy Pelosi did. With an iron rod. You're going to have to make sure that everybody is on board and that when you bring up a bill, you don't get all of the public fighting and arguing. You have to be good at vote counting. You have to be good at whipping your vote. You have to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And you have to pick fights that you know you can win. So take some actual tactical ability here. We'll see whether Kevin McCarthy has any of that tactical ability. The first people out of the gate, unfortunately for the House Republicans, the first people out of the gate are people who are announcing investigations. Now, I'm not anti-investigations. I think investigations are perfectly fine and in many cases legitimate. In fact, some of the investigations that members of the House are announcing, I think, are worthwhile. But there's no question that this is crowd-pleasing, base-pleasing stuff, because congressional investigations overall are generally useless. When is the last time you had a congressional investigation that actually ended with any sort of congressional activity that was worth its salt? The answer is it almost never happens. It's a posturing exercise. Now, sometimes that posturing is necessary for political gain. Sometimes the posturing is useful for the American public. Most of the time, it's just a way for people to get on TV. And when it comes to getting reelected, when it comes to your caucus actually being successful in getting things done, it's a lot less about the posturing and a lot more about what it is that you want to get done. All righty, coming up, we'll get to the House Republicans. What do they plan to do taking over the House? Is it going to be smart or is it going to be posturing? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Ridding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Ridding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates.
November is National Gratitude Month, a time to celebrate and give thanks. The folks at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive want to thank you, their customers, for being the most important part of their business. Whether you need a new paint job or repair, Mako has you covered. Thanking you this holiday season. Michelle, Jerry, and the team at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Mako for your free estimate at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights, taking place November 18th through January 8th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Redding Garden of Lights at Turtle Bay, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift-giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift-giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
For all of you who have served us, let us serve you. Veterans, police, firefighters, EMTs, and your family, please come join us on December 3rd for a servicemen's feast from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall located at 3210 Center Street, Anderson, California. This is a free holiday lunch with all the fixings for you. Again, it's on December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall at 3210 Center Street, Anderson, California. Presented by Missing in America Project. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Order may be required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the House Republicans are about to take over. So what are they going to do? Will it be smart? Will it be a bunch of stuff that they do for the press and the cameras and the base? So let's talk about what it is that the House is going to try to get done. The Wall Street Journal has a good rundown on what exactly Republicans are looking to do. They say that the end of the unified Democratic government will prevent Biden from following through on key 2020 campaign goals, including raising taxes on corporations and high-income households. Some tax legislation is still possible, thanks to bipartisan momentum for expanding tax breaks for retirement savings. There could be a deal to extend expired tax breaks and prevent some business tax increases scheduled to take effect under a law passed in 2017. There are some provisions of a 2017 law that are scheduled to expire after 2025. Democrats are probably not going to push forward any sort of extension of that, but Republicans are going to obstruct the Democratic attempts to raise taxes, which is definitely a positive for the American people. There's going to be talk about, for example, debt limits and raising spending. Okay, that is going to have to be discussed. The reality is that there is very little appetite inside the Republican caucus or by the American people more broadly. I mean, I wish there were, but politics is a game of reality. It's not a game of I wish. And the American public, I've yet to see a situation in which there's a government shutdown and the American public is super happy about it, even though I may be totally sanguine about it. When it comes to foreign policy, there are going to be some battles over the war in Ukraine. Presumably, Kevin McCarthy is going to be shepherding Congress into continuing funding, but I would assume with more oversight. That's going to be important. There will be attempts to block Democrats to from enshrining abortion in federal law. Most of what's going to happen for the next couple of years is going to be obstruction. And there, I think that McCarthy actually has a fairly easy road. He's just going to be able to look at Joe Biden and say no. The question is going to be, what happens when Republicans actually take power? What sort of legislation are they going to be able to push forward? And more than anything, for the next couple of years, can you project a feeling of sobriety in your caucus? Because that's what this midterm election was really about. The reason the Republicans won a handful of seats instead of a wave of seats in a year in which Republicans across the country were plus four, that usually says wave. There was no wave. One of the reasons is because many Republican candidates in particular congressional districts did not feel sober to the public. What you need is a feeling of calm and sobriety. Can Republicans get their act together enough to actually project this? This is my concern about some of the focus on the investigations. Again, not that there shouldn't be investigations, but that they're actually done in a sober and thought out manner, as opposed to let me just go and shout in front of the cameras. So yesterday there was an announcement by Representative James Comer that there will be an investigation to Hunter Biden. Again, this is sort of promises made, promises kept sort of stuff for Republicans. They said they would investigate Hunter Biden. That's all fine. I'm not sure that I would make that like the first thing that you say you are going to do after being elected to the majority, simply for political expediency. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. But don't make it like we're taking power, we're going after the current president of the United States' son. That's like our top priority. I don't think it should be Republicans' top. It should be a priority, sure, to investigate any sort of corrupt foreign affairs that are happening here. But is this what is meant to project a sense of sort of calm and stability to the American people going into 2024? I'm not sure that it is. Anyway, here is Representative James Comer of Kentucky.
We are releasing a report today that details what we have uncovered. We are also sending letters to the Biden administration officials and Biden family associates renewing our request for voluntary production of documents relevant to this investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the President of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the President's family. These include conspiracy or defrauding the United States, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, tax evasion, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality, from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution.
Yeah, I just have a question. Why is this your lead? Why is this what you're leading with? Like, day one, you announce you have a majority, and you're like, we're going after Hunter. Is that the priority of the American people? Maybe the priority of the base? Again, I'm happy to see an investigation. This is your lead? Republicans performed poorly in the general election because 13% of Republican voters in key states defected over to the other side. And also because independents voted for the Democrats in the last election cycle. And so your first move is, let's do this thing that appears to be super partisan to everybody. I just don't understand the tactical. Where's the tactics here? Where's the tactical brilliance? And if you have a bunch of members who are going to use Congress, see, here's what Nancy Pelosi basically did. What Nancy Pelosi basically did is she let AOC and Ilhan Omar and all these people go out there and shout about anything, but they had no power inside the caucus. They didn't do anything. They go out and they do interviews or Instagram stories or be on the cover of Rolling Stone, but they didn't actually have any power. And so if McCarthy's going to run his caucus well, what he's going to have to do is say, okay, you want to go out, you want to sound off to the press, you want to do it, fine. But the way this place is going to run is it's going to run like a smoothly oiled machine in which we pursue actual real issues the American people care about as a first priority. And we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but the walking is much more important than the chewing of the gum, at least in the public mind. I just don't understand why you would leave with this day one. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it doesn't bode well for the tactical brilliance of Republican leadership at this point. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, you need a better night's sleep. We all need a better night's sleep, and this means we need a mattress made just for us. I have one. It's called Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. So how are you going to know which Helix mattress works best for you? Well, they have this quick quiz. This Helix Sleep quiz takes 2 minutes, and it'll give you precisely the mattress you need. Their personalized mattress is then shipped directly to your door free of charge, and Helix knows there's no better way to test out that mattress than by actually sleeping on it, which is why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. Try out your new Helix mattress and see how your body adjusts. If you decide it's not the best fit, you are welcome to return it for a full refund. Everybody is unique. Everybody sleeps differently. So why would you get a mattress made for somebody else? Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. It's their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Again, helixsleep.com/Ben. Get up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus 2 free pillows when you order today. By the way, there are certain things that you could say that would please the base and would still be things that are worthwhile doing. So, for example, Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio, he says one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be overseeing Joe Biden's DOJ. Like, this is an actual thing that seems worthwhile to me. Because, again, this is a function of Congress, is to oversee the executive branch and make sure that it doesn't overstep its boundaries. Here's Jim Jordan yesterday.
Is the FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before the election. Maybe it'd be nice if the FBI and the Justice Department just stayed out of it and let we the people decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us. That's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature of the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story, again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
Okay, again, I just have a question. Why couldn't you just say, listen, the DOJ, one of our first tasks over at the Judiciary Committee is to oversee the DOJ, which has been targeting parents. Why wouldn't that be the lead? Why is Hunter Biden the lead? Why is the 2016 election the lead? This is all the stuff the American people in 2022 were like, eh. But it turns out there is stuff the DOJ is doing that pisses off the American people. And those things include going after parents. Tactical competence, guys, is going to be a necessity here. I don't know how many times Republicans can pull defeat out of the jaws of victory, but they seem to be up to the challenge. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Again, McCarthy better get this thing in order, or he's not going to be worth his salt as Speaker. It's that simple. The one thing that you can say for Kevin McCarthy is that when you climb the greasy pole and you make it to the top, this means, theoretically, that you're supposed to be tactically smart. Again, Paul Ryan was sort of thrust into this position when he was made Speaker of the House, simply because he was famous and he'd run for vice president under Mitt Romney, and because he had these ideas about restructuring entitlements. But it wasn't as though Paul Ryan was known as a tactician in Congress. That wasn't his thing. He was an idea guy in Congress. Kevin McCarthy, theoretically, should be known as a tactician. He's the only young gun left. I remember when there was a triumvirate of the young guns. It was Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and Eric Cantor. The only one who's left is Kevin McCarthy. And now he's going to be Speaker of the House. So, show the tactical maneuvering capacity of a Mitch McConnell or a Nancy Pelosi and you'll be successful. That's your job. Your job is not going to be to allow your caucus to run free and wild, shouting about things the base loves, but the American people are not particularly entranced with. Okay, meanwhile, over at Twitter, complete mayhem, according to the media. People are freaking out over the current activities over at Twitter. So what exactly is happening over at Twitter? Well, CNN's Oliver Darcy has now branded it Twitter's last gasp, which is a radical overstatement of the case. Basically, what happened is that Elon Musk put out an ultimatum that all of his employees should come to work extremely hardcore. Basically, he said, we are not going to be doing this routine where employees get to run the place. You need to commit to working long hours and working hard and fixing this or leave. This is a couple days ago. He issued an ultimatum to Twitter employees. He said, commit to a new hardcore Twitter or leave the company with severance pay. Twitter is shifting to an engineer-driven operation, one that will need to be extremely hardcore going forward, according to the midnight email obtained by the Washington Post. Employees were asked to click an icon and respond by Thursday if they wanted to stay. He said this will mean working long hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. By mid-Wednesday, members of Twitter's trust and safety team, which of course is the most ideologically driven part of the Twitter company, they were discussing a mass resignation, and then apparently they engaged in a mass resignation. According to the Washington Post, hundreds of people working at Twitter said that they were going to leave. They refused to sign a pledge to work longer hours. According to the Washington Post, the number of engineers tending to multiple critical systems had been reduced to 2, 1, or even 0. It went from like 20 in a particular department to 2 people in a particular department. Now, people on Twitter who don't understand how Twitter works, they think what this means is that basically engineers are in the back room, and every time you tweet, what happens is that they take your tweet, they retype it onto a floppy disk, they take the floppy disk, they upload it into like a computer from 1950 that fills a room, and then that's how your tweet goes up. And so if you don't have people, 1,000 Twitter employees, who every day are just re-inputting the tweets, the thing's just going to break down. In 24 hours, it's going to shut down. That's wrong. What the engineers are there to do is they are there to stop an emergency meltdown. So somebody hacks the system, for example, or there's a major bug that crashes the system. Instead of having 20 guys, you now have 2. So that means that the critical systems, if they come under attack, that could be a problem. But the way the media are treating it, it's like, oh, my God, well, tomorrow it's going to go dark. It's just going to wind down. That is not right. In an early sign, the number of those declining to sign was greater than anticipated. Musk eased off a return-to-office mandate he had issued a week ago, telling employees Thursday they'd be allowed to work remotely if their managers assert they are making an excellent contribution. But apparently, several workers are saying that the precarious position has been reached. A former employee said, quote, I know of 6 critical systems, like serving tweets level of critical, which no longer have any engineers. There's no longer even a skeleton crew manning the system. It will continue to coast until it runs into something, and then it will stop. Okay, that would be an implication regarding the possibility of an emergency. So how many people are still remaining? Apparently, somewhere between 75 and 88% of all the people working at Twitter when Musk took over are basically gone at this point. Musk eliminated roughly 50% of the 7,500-person workforce when he first took over. A former Twitter executive told CNN that this was a mass exodus. I asked about the situation. A former executive said, Elon is finding out he can't bully top senior talent. They have lots of options, and they won't put up with his antics. They will struggle just to keep the lights on. That assessment was universally shared by a half dozen current and former employees that spoke with Oliver Darcy on Thursday. Now, you would imagine they would say that, right? Everybody who leaves a company says about their old company, the place is going to fall down without me. Darcy says Twitter management was in panic mode. Hours before the deadline passed, people familiar with the matter said, explaining senior leaders were scrambling to convince talent to stay on at the company. Now, while all of this is happening, Twitter is reaching new heights in users. Twitter continues to have massive traffic. They're going to have to go out. They're going to have to hire back some engineers. what this is Twitter's most perilous moment in terms of how you actually rebuild Twitter. There was going to come a moment where everybody who's not ideologically aligned and enthusiastic about working for Trump was going to have to leave. That moment has just been accelerated. So instead of sort of a slow walk to this point where a Twitter engineer that Musk didn't like was let go and a new one replaced him, instead of that, basically everybody who Musk would have fired anyway is leaving at the same time, which means they're short staffed right now. The question is going to be whether they can staff up quickly enough to prevent the ship from running into the iceberg. That's essentially what's going on right now. Jeff Siebert, a former head of consumer product at Twitter, said, according to the New York Times, that the company's situation was, quote, sad and disappointing, and that Mr. Musk's leadership had caused confusion for users, advertisers, and employees. Of all the companies that don't need more drama, it's Twitter, said Siebert. Now, the media are going nuts over this because the media spend literally all day on Twitter. In which case, probably, you know, they also say learn to code. Maybe they should learn to weld. Maybe that's the thing that needs to happen right here. But, you know, the notion that Twitter is about to go under forever, or that even if Twitter went under for 24 hours, you think that they wouldn't get it back up and running? It'll become more buggy, it'll become worse for a month, and then it'll get better. Honestly, I think it will get better. And the reason I think it will get better is because I actually believe that a lot of these tech companies are wildly overstaffed. There's no way that Twitter needed 7,500 employees. That is not a thing that was necessary in the first place. And a lot of what's going on right now is also that members of the media, forget about the sort of chaos inside, members of the media are eager to see Twitter fail because they don't like Musk, and they don't like what Musk has done to Twitter, which is open the place up. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the media are ecstatic because Twitter is having some troubles. We'll get into that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join us this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With the cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Jack Swidio, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, December 1st through 4th.
Featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at cascadetheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, a Reading tradition.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
American Lung Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The media are ecstatic because Elon Musk's Twitter is hitting some rough road. Okay, so the celebration in the media, you can sense it, over Twitter's troubles. It really is about Musk, right? They hate Musk. They don't like the fact that Musk disagrees with them politically. And so they are fully excited about the fact that 90% of the workforce over Twitter is gone. Now, that excitement is going to turn to sheer rage and tears if it turns out that Musk has sufficiently cleared out the place that he's able to hire back new employees. Twitter keeps running, except on a fraction of its old budget, and suddenly it looks profitable. Because it turns out you didn't need 7,500 employees over at Twitter. Maybe you only need 700 employees over at Twitter, or 1,000 employees over at Twitter. It saves you a lot on the other end. It also means that a lot of these tech companies are going to look at their own employee base and go, wait a second, do we need this many people working for us? We're already headed into a tech recession. And forget about whether there's a generalized recession. Tech leads the way, because so much of the extraordinary amount of money that was flowing through the economy was invested in tech, that you created another tech bubble. It's very reminiscent of like 1999, 2000, when Pets.com was a massive, massive stock. And you're seeing that now with Facebook. I mean, Facebook stock is down just Meta. Their stock is down unbelievably. And they're laying off tens of thousands of workers. And the same thing is happening even at Amazon, which is an actual profitable and solid company, one of the biggest companies in the country. They're laying off tens of thousands of workers. So if Musk is able to lay off this much of his workforce, you think other big tech companies aren't going to look at their own workforce and go, guys, we are way overstaffed. There's going to be a lot of people learning to weld if that is the case. But a lot of people rooting against Musk, obviously. And that includes a bunch of people in the government. Now, the simple fact of the matter is that the members of the left would love to see Twitter go down. They would love to see Musk go down. This is why Democratic lawmakers are calling for an investigation of Elon Musk. Now, I've yet to see them call for an investigation into, for example, Jeff Bezos, a billionaire, buying the Washington Post. But it's really, really bad to allow Musk to basically run his company. And so you have Democrats like Ed Markey going after Elon Musk. On Thursday, seven Democratic senators called for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate whether the company had violated a consumer privacy agreement with the agency since Musk took it over. The letter followed the resignations of Twitter security executives last week after Musk appeared to change some of the company's data security practices. So now they're going to investigate him. It's funny, they're perfectly happy, by the way, to work hand in glove with other big tech companies. I mean, in fact, as we learned yesterday in a public hearing, Chris Wray, the head of the FBI, he says that the FBI might actually be gathering your actual private Facebook data without a warrant. That apparently does not warrant any sort of congressional upset or investigation. But Musk changing data practices internally at Twitter without government involvement, that's totally fine. Here was Chris Wray admitting, basically, that Facebook is allowing backdoor data grabbing from the federal government.
Director Ray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Okay, so that's great. That's great. No congressional investigation there under the Democratic Senate, but they are definitely going to go after Twitter. Again, their hatred for Twitter knows no bounds. A spokesperson for the FTC declined to comment. The agency previously said it was tracking recent developments at Twitter with deep concern. Jeff Siebert, the former head of consumer product at Twitter and apparently full-time commentator for the New York Times, He's like the only person who they talk to. Called the company situation sad and disappointing, of course. So, and those are his favorite words. Meanwhile, I'll tell you where they're not having heartburn. Where they're not having heartburn in the media is over the fact that CNN is preparing mass layoffs. That apparently is totally fine. So mass layoffs at Twitter demonstrate that the company is on the ropes and might collapse. Mass layoffs at CNN, that's just the way it goes over there. According to Just the News, CNN chief executive Chris Licht announced this week layoffs at the news company as a cost-cutting measure amid the network's financial woes and unsuccessful foray into streaming. Teams not essential to the network's core mission are likely to see their positions disappear, Licht said in a town hall with employees, according to the UK Daily Mail. Licht did not detail which teams or how many jobs are on the chopping block. The network CEO has been tasked with cutting $100 million from the network's budget from superiors at Warner Brothers Discovery, the outlet noted. He previously claimed in June that layoffs were not on the table. Well, so much for that. Apparently, mass layoffs are now on the table, which is not a shock because CNN had sunk an awful lot of money into CNN Plus, which was a giant fail. But this does not merit any sort of media freakout. What merits a media freakout is an internal staffing issue over at Twitter that, by the way, is likely to be solved because most problems of staffing eventually can be solved with money and good job offers, which presumably is what they are doing over at Twitter headquarters today. We'll find out whether Musk can pull a rabbit out of the hat this time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The White House is claiming ignorance. This after the Biden Department of Justice appointed a special counsel in federal investigations targeting former President Trump. The appointment of the special counsel comes 3 days after Mr. Trump announced his intentions to run for president in 2024. Another busload of illegal immigrants arrives at the Washington, D.C.'s doorstep of Vice President Harris. Around 50 illegal immigrants were dropped off Friday morning. The group contains those from Ecuador, Argentina, and Nicaragua. Construction of a planned barbed wire fence along Finland's long border with Russia will start early next year. It's an effort to block illegal immigration.
In October, Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin said there was consensus among lawmakers to build a fence to cover parts of the border with Russia in a project that's estimated to cost nearly $400 million and scheduled to be completed by 2026. It will eventually extend to a maximum of 124 miles. It will be erected mainly in southeastern Finland, where most border traffic to and from Russia takes place. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Twitter loses more employees after Elon Musk tells them to get to work or get out.
Twitter's new owner Elon Musk gave workers a choice, either click on a link by close of business Thursday and pledge to work hardcore or resign with 3 months severance pay. Since taking over Twitter less than 3 weeks ago, Musk fired the top executives, booted half the company's full-time staff of 7,500, and began firing engineers who took issue with him publicly. Three engineers who left this week told the Associated Press they expect unpleasantness ahead now that two-thirds of Twitter's core services engineers are now apparently gone. It's not clear how many workers took Musk up on his offer. I'm Jennifer King.
Get more on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week? No thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
High energy prices linked to Russia's war in Ukraine paved the way for coal's comeback in some parts of Europe.
Many people have turned to coal as a cheaper option than natural gas.
The trend raises worries in a region of the northeastern Czech Republic that has worked for decades to end its industrial legacy as the most polluted area of the country. The country's production of brown coal has risen by more than 20% in the first 9 months of 2022 over a year earlier. Officials say that's the first increase after almost a continuous decades-long decline.
Correspondent Jeremy Howes reporting. The government and two major airlines are giving contrasting views about the impact of an alliance between the airlines. Closing arguments Friday in federal district court of the government's lawsuit to break up a partnership between American Airlines and JetBlue. The partnership lets airlines coordinate schedules and share revenues on routes. News and analysis at townhall.com. Well, the calendar says we're still in autumn, but don't tell that to people in western New York, where Governor Kathy Hochul has declared a state of emergency ahead of a potentially dangerous bout of lake-effect snow. The National Weather Service forecast up to 4 feet of snow or more, they've actually gotten more than that, through Sunday. It could paralyze the hardest-hit communities, including Buffalo, with periods of near-zero visibility. The Weather Service also warns of accumulations of 2 feet or more of lake-effect snow in parts of northern Michigan. The day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she would step aside, New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries announces his own history-making bid to lead House Democrats. And Qatar reportedly banning beer sales at the 8 stadiums where the World Cup soccer matches will be played beginning Sunday. It kicks off Sunday, expected to draw more than 1 million visitors from 31 countries. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m., VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
Meanwhile, today, Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that she is stepping down as the House Democratic leader. Pelosi, who's 82, said it's time for a new generation to lead. And Biden was like, whoa, 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 okay, Nancy. She's funny. Good, take her home, take her home. She's so funny.
That's a good one. Of course, you know, the next generation remains. It's going to be more radical and more extreme. And more anti-American. We're looking at Hakeem Jeffries, who hates everyone. He's going to be perfect for the Democrat Party going forward. Hakeem. I'm rooting for him. Does he hate the Jews, Michael, like his beloved uncle, the college professor, who was his mentor? You know, the racist college professor in New York City College, New York. He hates the white people and the Jews. The Jews. But that's okay for Democrats, for the Democrat Party. That's good. That's a wink and a nod, a rub and a thing, and that's all okay. Well, happy Friday to you. And I know that a great many people, because I keep hearing, are happy that it's Friday. This was true last week also, which was... We had something last week. It was on Tuesday. We used to call it Election Day. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. But the Democrats, they jumped in to make Election Day. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers again. They jumped in to make it better.
to make it better. And now that they've made the changes that they desired, we still don't know who controls the Senate, and we're still waiting for House races to be decided. And there are going to be contests and maybe recounts, and there are going to be lawsuits. And in Texas, I've got great audio for you from Texas, and great audio for you from Arizona, Maricopa County, which is a stain on our system of electing leaders in the United States, Maricopa County. So I've got some of that good stuff for you, because not everybody is just rolling over and taking it. Know what I mean? Like Epstein Island, it's not like that everywhere you go. The Democrats. What was Jeffrey Epstein Island called? They call it like Clintonville or something like that. What do they call it? So we got that. And Nanny Pelosi. That was the opening joke from Jimmy Fallon last night on the late night TV, all part of the Democrat Party's propaganda apparatus, of course. And it's not really comedy, it's politics, occasionally veiled as comedy, but very often not. Very often unvarnished, unveiled politics, because the networks, you know, they're all in with the destroy the world thing and everyone in it. So we've got some of that for you. But Pelosi, yesterday, I'm not really in the business of making predictions, but yesterday I made a prediction. And my prediction was that Nanny, because the news media was like, oh, you know, will she stay or will she go now? If she stays, there will be trouble. And Nanny Pelosi, of course, and because she's not Speaker of the House, not going to be Speaker of the House anymore, she is currently Speaker of the House. And she will be through January, until January. But the news media, because they love the Democrat Party so much, gosh, they love the Democrat Party, don't they? I mean, I don't know how they do it. That kind of love is something that most of us are unfamiliar with, I think, in life. But the news media, they love, they adore, they tongue bath comes to mind, the daily tongue bath. But they were wrestling yesterday. What will Nancy Pelosi do if she's not going to be Speaker of the House anymore? Oh, which, and I said, here's what I said yesterday. It's not like I have a recording of it. I'm not that vain. But what I said, you may recall if you were listening, what I said was they will, the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, will declare her to be the Speaker of the House emeritus for life, right? That's what I threw in the for life, because that's like a third world banana republic, Democratic Republic of Congo title, you know, where you're declared president for life or something for life. Marion Barry in Washington, D.C., he was declared mayor for life. It was a mocking title. Then the Rashida Moore and the FBI and the crack came along. But setting that aside, Nanny Pelosi yesterday, as predicted, and it didn't take long, did it, Michael? It was before the sun went down yesterday, I think. The news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, were already declaring Nanny Pelosi to be the Speaker of the House emeritus. And we'll get to that, because made me laugh. Kind of made me laugh. We got the FBI director, Christopher Wray. He's an awful, sneering person. He's got that built-in sneer. You know what I'm talking about? He's got his face that's like, what do they call it, like bitchy resting face? He's got sneering resting face. He's a sneering person. And you know just if you saw him on a subway train that you shouldn't trust him by the permanent look on his face. If you have good instincts, you would look at him and you'd say, that's an untrustworthy person. And now he's director of the FBI after J. Edgar Comey went in there and just blew up and destroyed the reputation of the FBI, which was already on the ropes. But boy, they've wrecked it. Now, FBI director says juvenile effect adds to crime crisis. Youths turn to streets, not reopen schools. Now, that's just scratching the surface on his performance yesterday, because Senator Josh Hawley, there was a Senate hearing yesterday, and Senator Josh Hawley showed up, and Christopher Wray didn't go off jetting off on vacation, as he did in the midst of the last congressional oversight hearing, where he said, oh, let's tap in his watch. Oh, I really got to go. I got big things. I got business. I got to fly. I'm very important. And he fled the congressional hearing. Turns out he went and got on a U.S. government Gulfstream jet, went upstate New York, because he had a family vacation he had to get to. Now, when you got a Gulfstream jet waiting for you, and you're the only one that the Gulfstream jet is waiting for, it's not like the jet's going to leave without you, you know? But he fled because he's a smug, sneering, arrogant government official who abuses his power at every possible turn. And he proved that again and again. And Senator Josh Hawley showed up, so he got a couple of questions, Christopher Wray did. And he looks like a massive rectal aperture. But the rest of the news media, they will attack Josh Hawley. You see, what they do is they attack Senator Josh Hawley because the news media doesn't believe in Democrat Party related government accountability. They don't believe in any of that stuff. So we've got that for you. And Pelosi to step down after historic term as top Democrat in House. And I think she's got to get back to San Francisco, lickety-split, I think, and, you know, get an ice pack. I think her husband needs an ice pack. And speaking of which, that all of the questions surrounding that Paul Pelosi, Nanny Pelosi's home invasion story, all of the questions remain unanswered, and the entirety of the American news media remains entirely uninterested. Isn't that amazing? Kind of an amazing story, that whole thing. Yes, sir. You remember, see, for me, Pelosi will always be the speaker that ripped up the State of the Union address. You know, Dan Quayle, potato, right? Nancy Pelosi, there should just be one thing on her record and one thing only, and that is tearing up the State of the Union in an act of insurrection. That was actually an insurrection, wasn't it? It was a hostile act against an established authority, which is an insurrection. That's what we're talking about here. Joe Biden suffers from insurrection, but he doesn't fully understand it. He's still got to meet with his doctors and see what they can do about that. Yeah, but Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union address. And she says the hour has come for a new generation. And then she fell over and they had to give her the paddles. First female speaker's political muscle lauded. See, again, if she had been the Republican Speaker of the House, the story on the front page of the Washington Post would be the Republican Speaker tearing up the State of the Union address behind the Democrat president. I think if Kevin McCarthy, inarticulate though he may be, becomes the Speaker of the House of Representatives, that at the upcoming next year's State of the Union address, he should tear up Joe Biden's State of the Union behind his back. Just for fun, just for effect, just to watch the contrast between the media's coverage of Nancy Pelosi tearing up the... and she said yesterday, she said that she enjoyed working with three presidents while she was speaker. The interesting thing is that she was speaker during four presidencies because she's really the stuff of firing on Fort Sumter. She is she's a radical and an extremist. Also, the front page of the Washington Post today, climate talks stall as time dwindles. The time to save the planet from the weather is dwindling. The Greta von Thunberg is one of their saints in their pseudo-religion. And the subheadline in the Washington Post today, they had three typists on the story from the DNC. The subheadline is rich, poor nations split over compensation for warming's impacts. That's because the poor nations are saying that the rich nations should give them tens of billions of dollars because of the weather, right? And the Democrats are in favor of this because the reality is that this whole environmental thing, in Europe they call the phony environmentalists watermelons because they're green on the outside, right? But red on the inside, it's really communism veiled as environmentalism, Marxism veiled as environmentalism. And what this is that you've been hearing it for years, and here it is on the front page of the paper, a massive global redistribution of wealth scam by the radical environmental left. Before you know it, they're going to glue themselves to the Federal Reserve or something. They're going to, you know, they love gluing themselves to things because of their rampant mental illness. So we got a bunch of that for you today and a lot more as well. Joe Biden, he's not good at catching dinner, is he? He misses dinner because sometimes it conflicts with the scheduling of episodes of Hazel. But But we've got more Joe Biden for you today, too. Biden's granddaughter's wedding. He doesn't know how many grandchildren he has, right? We should have the grandchildren audio today because CNN's headline. Biden's granddaughter's wedding offers youthful spin for president turning 80. CNN is providing the spin. That's the thing. And foreign trip becomes victory lap for strengthened Biden, the Associated Press reports. It's like living in North Korea. It honestly is. Our news media, the news media in Iran spreads more truth than the news media in the United States of America. And then, of course, Fox News has the headline, Americans will be shocked. Shocked, I say. Former Hunter Biden business partner lauds GOP probe into Hunter Biden. Should you say probe into Hunter Biden in a headline, do you think? Is it an ever-expanding probe? Because you know how uncomfortable those can be. And Maricopa County in Arizona, Maricopa County supervisors defend the 2022 election against public criticism. The Arizona Mirror. Why? You're a denier like Hillary Clinton. You know, Hillary Clinton's an election denier. DNC Chair Terry McAwful, election denier. Stacey Abrams, election denier. A busload of Democrat members of Congress, election deniers. And a patriot in Texas accuses Harris County, Texas commissioners of election fraud. And he said, we sick and tired of that beep N-word. And this going to take that N-word out. And we've got that. It's okay, though, because he's African-American. So, you know the rules on these things, right? And Lee Zeldin, who amazingly lost his race for governor in the state of New York, amazingly, and that everything is good there. Democrats voted for more murder, more carjackings, more school-to-prison pipeline. They voted for more anarchy, chaos, and crime in New York. And Lee Zeldin lost. It's kind of amazing. It was a squeak. Now he's talking about running for chair of the RNC, running for chair of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, because it's time for a change there as well. Isn't that true? Elon Musk continues to be the target of the scorn and the ire of the Democrats who demand absolute information dominance in all realms, or they will burn your city down, as they've done so many times in the last few years. Hundreds of workers seem to leave as Twitter's Elon Musk demands hardcore. You got to be a hardcore employee, otherwise get out. So a lot of them are leaving because they're a bunch of commies. You know, they're doing work for the United Nations and stuff. So we got a lot of that. Oh, also the World Cup in Doha. This is pretty funny. The alcohol-free World Cup in Doha. Because Jasmine wore her Budweiser hat today. Budweiser, a $75 million sponsor. And they put out one of the funniest tweets I think I've seen in quite some time. And who might be the new Democrat leader? What kind of a racist anti-Semite is he anyway? Joe Biden's administration gives the killer of Jamal Khashoggi a pass. And Sam Bankman-Fried, Democrat donor. Gosh, we've got a lot of good stuff here. Plus transgender Democrats because it's a day of the week.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Did you know that banks can legally confiscate your money to bail themselves out? The only catch is it must be during extraordinary times. With the economy and the world where it is, don't you think now qualifies? Call 888-446-5320 to get your personal wealth protection guide. My friends at American Alternative Assets can help you protect your retirement savings by rolling over your IRA or 401k into a gold IRA. The fact is, you can hold physical gold
and silver in your retirement account while maintaining its tax-deferred status. Call 888-446-5320 today to get your free wealth protection guide. This guide will give you all the answers you need. Protect your savings now before it's too late. Call American Alternative Assets at 888-4-GOLD-20 to secure your free gold and silver guide today. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results.
What's your least favorite season? Now, if you're like me, it's cold and flu season. So get relief from it this year with Mucinex DM. With cough and chest congestion relief for 12 hours in just one dose, that's three times longer than four-hour products. Mucinex DM makes any season comeback season, even cold and flu season. Get three times the relief in just one dose with Mucinex DM. It couldn't be simpler. Nothing lasts longer among over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Mucinex DM provides 12 hours of relief for chest congestion and cough, day or night. Use as directed.
Need a great holiday gift for that special someone? Shop on Untuckit's Black Friday early access and grab the perfect style at up to 50% off. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. Save big on our iconic button-downs, super soft flannels, and cozy sweaters during our biggest sale of the year. Shop on Untuckit's Black Friday early access sale today for up to 50% off at Untuckit.com or 80-plus stores. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-613-7996. That's 800-613-7996. 800-613-7996. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Fall is in the air, and that means fall grilling, tailgate parties, and so much more. Now is the perfect time to stock up on all this incredible flavor and take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping Omaha Steaks Friends and Family Sale. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get $30 off your order. Visit omahasteaks.com, promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
CNN President Chris Licht. Who did Chris lick, you want to know? Well, practically every Democrat he can get his tongue on. And he lied on television last night repeatedly. because he's a liar. And that's why he's the president of CNN, I guess. But we have the audio from the video of him lying because he's a liar. And I've got an amazing story for you out of Los Angeles, Whittier, California, the psychopath that ran over 25 sheriff recruits. I've got, it's almost impossible to believe, but that's coming up. Let's go to the telephones right now. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Kennedy calling from Manassas, Virginia. Kennedy, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. I just wanted to let everybody know the official party narrative has been put out. George Takei had tweeted, if any Republicans bring up the Hunter Biden laptop story, you have to ask them, you know, what are you doing about crime and inflation since you have the majority? And right on cue, Geraldo Rivera tweets, you know, the Republicans have a majority, and instead of dealing with crime and inflation, they deal with the Hunter Biden laptop. So just so you know, Mike DeLib, if you're listening, that's your party narrative for today. Anytime anybody talks about the Hunter Biden laptop, you have to ask them, yeah, well, what are you doing about crime and inflation?
That is perfect. I'm glad you picked up on that early. And, of course, their spiritual leader, George Takei of Star Trek, leading the way. And then Geraldo Rivera following the way. I still remember that Al Capone's vault thing. We had a drinking party that night. That was a lot of fun. But George Takei, good spot by you, Kennedy, on George Takei leading the way. And this, that's a technique that I've been talking about for years, Kennedy. It's called change the subject and attack.
Yep.
Right? And I've been talking about that for years. That's what they do. Their music came in rather roughly there. Yeah, well, you spotted it first. And you know what I spotted first yesterday was Nancy Pelosi will become Speaker Emeritus, Speaker of the House Emeritus. And I have that coming up for you because it's kind of a religion. I'm sorry. Let me amend that. It's a religion. Delete kind of this whole Democrat Party thing and the weather coming up.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank,
Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no homeless pets.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war? We're losing our country. It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
It's fall, y'all, and Black Bear Diner wants to make sure you lean into pumpkin spice season. Sip on a pumpkin cold brew made with our deliciously smooth and full-bodied coffee blend to spice up an afternoon or top off your next dinner with a slice of creamy pumpkin cheesecake. Start your day with pumpkin as well. Ask for pumpkin spice in your ever-popular sweet cream pancakes. We'll drizzle on some pumpkin spice sauce, add a dollop of whipped cream, and call it breakfast. Visit Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Little Soul Finger for you this Friday morning by the Bar K's. A great American classic. You know, those rascally Democrats, they, all the mayhem and the crime and the crazy stuff, they're completely nuts. They are. Now because Kennedy called in, we changed our vector a little bit because Kennedy called in with the George Takei news. He's a gay rights activist who was he's very, very vocal for radical Democrat Party policies. He was a character on the TV show Star Trek. And, you know, TV, being on TV, it sometimes goes to people's heads and they think that, you know, that their opinion counts because you were a character on a TV show many decades ago. It's an amazing thing. But Kennedy's right. George Takei tweeted this out. Oh, sure, they want to investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. What else they want to investigate? And not deal with crime and inflation. Well, you know, dealing with crime and inflation means taking down the Biden administration because, you know, the Democrats are pro-crime. They're pro-criminal district attorneys and prosecutors. They love, you know, the district attorneys and prosecutors that are pro-criminal. They hate the police. They defund and undermine and target the police. So, and then the Democrats go out and they're, you know, commit all the crimes, almost all of them. And, you know, and then they say, well, why don't you stop us before we kill again? Well, that's what we're trying to do. But you know, you guys are a pretty tough nut to crack, got to tell you. So, you know, they're dealing with going after Hunter Biden, you know, the criminal family in the White House with all of their ill-gotten gains from countries like Russia and China and Ukraine. where we're now sending tens of billions of dollars to wage war against their boy Putin, and all his buddies are getting rich off the thing, too. But never mind that. Then Geraldo echoed it because, you know, the Democrat Party echo machine is the Democrat Party echo machine. That's what information dominance is all about. Instead of dealing with crime and inflation. Well, you know, crime is the Biden family, I've got to say. They're an organized crime family, and they're in charge of the United States of America right now. So I think the Republicans in the House certainly ought to take on crime by going after crime at the highest levels. And when they're done with that, they're going after the FBI and the intelligence community and their myriad crimes against humanity and against the Constitution, against the United States of America, all the crimes committed by the 51 fake pro-Putin, I'm going to say pro-Putin, pro-Putin intelligence officials that signed on to that phony letter, and the FBI that told Facebook to stop allowing people to share true stories about the criminal Biden family. You know, and then when Biden is gone, we'll get inflation under control. But it's going to take time. Trust me, George Takei and Geraldo Rivera. But with that said, you know, because Kennedy was talking about the talking points, the party issued talking points. Michael Piercy noticed that last night, late night TV propaganda outlets for the Democrat Party. And then after this, because, you know, that talking about Colbert, we should go to Chris Licht at CNN with his fluffer and the lies that the president of CNN told. So let's go to Stephen Colbert's political program last night. And this is, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC should be required to provide equal time so that someone like me has an equal amount of time on CBS in a just as desirable a time slot that Stephen Colbert has. And same thing with Fallon and with Kimmel and beyond. Speaking of which, Barack Obama was on Comedy Central last night on The Daily Show with that guy who's leaving that because nobody ever watched it because he's not very funny and the show's not good. And it's another Democrat, you know, political propaganda show. But speaking of Democrat Party political propaganda, here's Stephen Colbert last night.
Republicans have won control of the House of Representatives. I know. It's disappointing.
Boo. Yeah, it's disappointing.
Though it is nice to see Republicans take the House without any zip ties. Votes are still...
It's
refreshing is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the... there it is. It's January 6th. Now, then we go over to the Jimmy Fallon Democrat Party propaganda show, and there's very little original thinking, and we are, since Kennedy mentioned party-issued talking points.
Some more political news. Everyone's talking about this more than a week after the midterms. Republicans finally won control of the House. On the bright side, it's nice to see them seizing the House without zip ties and a Viking helmet.
See, there you go. Now, that's the party-issued talking because January 6th. Gosh, I wish January 6th never happened. It's the only arrow they have in their quiver. Now, the Democrats sacked and burned and looted Seattle and Tacoma and Portland and Chicago and New York and Washington and Atlanta, St. Louis, and they murdered people in Waukesha and attacking the community lifeguard in Kenosha, and the child rapist was the Democrat Party's hero of the story. Pretty amazing stuff. But since we're talking tie wraps, I remember a Democrat showed up outside of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home with a Glock pistol and extra magazine and tie wraps and a knife and burgling tools and kidnapping tools. And he was planning on murdering three Supreme Court justices. And, you know, it goes on and on. And Steve Scalise was shot by a Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer. And, of course, Martin Luther King was shot by a Democrat Party presidential campaign volunteer, too. James Earl Ray, volunteer for the Democrat George Wallace presidential campaign. You know, their political violence goes back a long way. But the tie wraps thing, I couldn't help but think of the would-be assassin outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home, who was planning on kidnapping the family and who knows what and killing three Supreme Court justices. And that was a one-day story. That was a one-day story because that's what information dominance can do for you. Am I right? Yes, I am. Do you have that Chris Licht audio? You know, being named Chris Licht is not the best thing that could happen to you at birth, is it? No, it isn't. But he's Chris Licht, and he used to be, what, the executive producer of the Stephen Colbert Show, right? And a, you know, and he's a Democrat Party propagandist, and he was then made, and late night TV, it's not a comedy show, it's Democrat Party propaganda. CNN's Chris Licht refuses to call Greg Gutfeld's show a late night program, pushes back on claim that he beat Colbert in the ratings. Now, again, this is a guy who comes from the Stephen Colbert Show, not exactly journalism, to become the president of CNN, which news is supposed to be their middle name. It was the cable news network, but not anymore. Now it's just the cable propaganda network. It has been for quite some time. It's really why I had to leave. So the CEO of CNN, Chris Licht, doesn't take kindly to those claiming that Fox News' Greg Gutfeld beat out his former boss, Stephen Colbert, in the ratings. Speaking with CNN reporter, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, Kara Swisher. Do you think that's her real name? It's better than Poppy Harlow, isn't it? Which is clearly and obviously a porn name. But speaking with CNN reporter Kara Swisher for the Thursday edition of her podcast, Chris Licht even refused to categorize Gutfeld's show as a late-night program. Now, keep in mind that Greg Gutfeld's show on the Fox News Channel is on at 11 p.m., and it goes until midnight, right, which is 12 a.m. And so if that's not late-night going till midnight, then I don't know what late night is. And Greg Gutfeld has trounced Stephen Colbert in the ratings. But here's what the head journalist at CNN said when talking to Kara Swisher. God bless her for asking the question. She'll probably be fired today, and her body will never be found.
So are you going to do a late night show on CNN, like compete with Gutfeld?
I wouldn't call him. I would call him just an entertaining show. I would not call him a late night show.
As someone who
worked on a late night show and knows what goes into that, I wouldn't put it in the same category.
But go ahead.
Are we going to get into this conversation?
No, we're not.
That's not true.
No. Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm still going to defend my friend Stephen.
You're good at making these shows. Why not have one there if you're talking about a panoply of things to give to people?
I wouldn't rule out some kind of show that involved people talking in a way that was not delivering news in a straightforward manner. Sure.
Listen to what a snake he is. Listen to what a weasel. And nice use of the word panoply by Kara Swisher. But what a liar. What a lion sack of Julia this guy is. You know, when I was in Chicago, at the gathering in Chicago, so a nice couple gave me a sack of Julia dollar or two. I didn't even tell you about that. It's at home on my counter right now. I noticed it last night. Hey, there's that sack of Julia dollar. Because they're from Chicago. So when I say it's a lion sack of Julia, they know what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't call him. I would call him just an entertaining show.
Now, it's a show that's on from 11 p.m. until midnight, but he wouldn't call it a late night show. And he has trounced in the ratings all of the late night shows. And even this piece in Mediaite on the story concedes, they admit, I would call him just an entertaining show. I wouldn't call him a late night show just because he's a show that's on late night. Right? That's not a, because to him, because he's the failed Colbert propaganda outlet, that's a late night show. But another show on from 11 p.m. until midnight is not a late night show. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Heard of an entertaining show.
Yeah. Right, as Michael says, he's never heard of an entertaining show that's on at that hour of the evening, which is late night. It goes until midnight. How much later in the night can you get? According to the Nielsen Ratings Corporation, Gutfeld in November, The show does beat Colbert. It beats Jimmy Kimmel, and it beats Jimmy Fallon, averaging 2.4 million viewers. Whether or not it's a late-night show competitor remains up for debate. No, it doesn't.
Put it in the same category.
But go ahead.
Are we going to get into this conversation?
No, we're not.
That's
not
true.
No, okay, all right, okay. Okay. But
I'm still going to defend my friend Stephen.
He's still going to defend his friend Stephen. Because he's in the left-wing Democrat Party propaganda business, too. So there it is. You know, if you're a big, fat liar, then journalism is the business for you. And CNN, Time Warner, you know, that's for you as well. Isn't that amazing? That's your news media, as we call it. And that's why they enjoy about the same level of respect as child molesters. And why Americans, according to the New York Times and their Siena College poll, Americans view the news media as the number one threat to democracy. And the Democrat Party is the number two threat to democracy. I'm just citing the New York Times here. In California, I told you yesterday about the psycho that crashed his car into 25 police recruits, sheriff recruits. Driver in Whittier car crash that injured 25 sheriff and police recruits is arrested, then released. The LAist has the story. Now, they published the story last night. Nicholas Joseph Gutierrez, 22 years old, was arrested by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department on he may face felony charges of attempted murder on a police officer, and those charges will multiply later. And added additional allegations that could be announced soon. Gutierrez's bail was set at $2 million, $2 million, according to inmate information on the Sheriff Department's website, scheduled to appear in Superior Court on Friday at 8:30. That's today at 8:30. But then the LAist updated. They updated, according to the L.A. County online jail records, Nicholas Joseph Gutierrez was released at 9:40 p.m. last night, and no bail was listed. You know, they've got this radical leftist Soros prosecutor in Los Angeles, and they just elected Karen Bass as the mayor. The loser member of the House of Representatives is now the mayor of Los Angeles. If you live in Los Angeles, get out while you can. Get out like the place is on fire, like it's a disaster movie and George Kennedy is nowhere to be found. Honestly, so according to the L.A. County online jail records, Nicholas Joseph Gutierrez was released. What happened to that $2 million bond? What happened to the bail? Did somebody come up with $200,000 to bail him out? Which Democrat did that? Or, I'm guessing more likely, there is no bail. He was released without bail. That's what I'm guessing. Released without bail. But it doesn't say that here. Doesn't say that. But you really think he came up to $2 million bail and he came up with it? I'm thinking that the radical leftists in Los Angeles said, we hate the cops. Let them go. We love murder and murderers, especially mass murderers of cops. They've had a lot of those in New York, and the Democrat Party has in New York, and, you know, the suicide attacks on police. New York, Dallas, Baton Rouge, Washington, D.C., just to name a few. Capitol Hill, 3 months after January 6th, January 6th.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-613-7996. That's 800-613-7996. 800-613-7996. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just want you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a Brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase? I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Fall is in the air, and that means fall grilling with cookouts, tailgate parties, and so much more. Luckily, the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to savor all the flavors of fall with their mouthwatering assortments of perfectly aged steaks, ultra-juicy burgers, and easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Now is the perfect time to load up on all this incredible flavor and take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping their Friends and Family sale. Go to Omaha Steaks. And use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get $30 off your order. Don't wait. Go to OmahaSteaks.com and stock up today. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life. Guaranteed. And don't forget to score that extra $30 off your order when you use SIZZLE at checkout. You won't come close to getting this kind of quality at the grocery store. Visit OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
But we'll get you.
The story out of Los Angeles is absolutely insane, that this person was released. They say, oh, lack of evidence, you know, other than all the injured people, the guy that lost his leg, the videotape of him crashing into him and never touching the brakes. Apparently, drugs in his system. And, you got nothing but evidence. And they announced $2 million bail. And I'm reading a CBS story, CBS News, And there's no mention of George Gascon, the radical left-wing, pro-criminal Soros prosecutor, district attorney in Los Angeles. No mention of him. But suddenly, they got $2 million bail being held, charged with attempted murder of a police officer, then released. No comment. And the sheriff says, Villanueva says, we may have to arrest him again. Well, Mexico's right there. You know, that border works both ways. Let's go to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Mike the Anti-Lib in Bowie, Maryland. Mike the Anti-Lib, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Mike. What do you say?
I wanted to make a comment about the Democrats saying, you know, we're going to spend all our time. And they said, why aren't we working on crime and the inflation? My response would be, what crime and what inflation? I mean, everything was mostly peaceful, was it not? And there is no inflation. So I just don't get what they're talking about.
Well, you're absolutely right, of course. They tell us that there's nothing to see here as we watch person after person being thrown in front of subway trains in New York and the looting in downtown Chicago and the police being run over, the police recruits being run over. And, you know, and even Nancy Pelosi's beloved husband at 2 o'clock in the morning with some stranger from the nudist movement in his home being hit in the head. When is a crime not a crime? It's like a Batman riddle. And the answer is when the Democrats say so. Yeah, you're right, Mike. Yeah, what crime? Gaslighting extraordinaire. They keep telling us that there's nothing to see here. There's no increase in crime. The skyrocketing murders and carjackings, nothing to see here. And inflation, come on. That's Putin's inflation and the war in Ukraine and something about Trump. And that what else is causing the inflation? And gas prices. And it's all somebody else's fault. Right, Mike?
You're just imagining it. It doesn't really happen.
That's right. Yeah, just get back to whatever. And, it's an amazing time to be alive. We're being lied to like it's the Soviet Union on a daily basis. And our news media is better paid than the Soviet media. They clean up a little better, but they're very much like the Soviet media.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.